Yes.
We'll do it live.
We're here.
Welcome to Boss Battle Radio. Z105. The second caller gets a free pair of Air Jordans.
Of truck balls.
So, Jamie, were you talking about something? Something cool that you got?
Hey, Jamie, yes. Have you done anything cool lately?
I've done so many cool things. I'm holding my PlayStation 4 DualShock 4 controller. It's so good. It's so good, you guys. First, I'll talk about that. I was playing some Uncharted 2. That's, you guys remember that game? That's
no. Game. No, I don't remember that game.
Great mm-hmm. game.
Okay.
You should. I'd give it 2 thumbs up.
Okay.
And I was playing that game with the DualShock 4. It's one of the. There's a good list going on Reddit, which you can find, and it has all the games that work with the DualShock 4 on PlayStation. Apparently, all the PlayStation 1 games work with it,
whoa.
Which is weird.
That's so cool.
And a bunch of other games. It's kind of janky because what you have to do is you have to find a micro USB cable, which it does not come with. $60 does not buy you a micro USB cable. So find one of those.
I have a million.
Yeah. Plug it into your PlayStation, and then you have to also have a DualShock 3, and you use the DualShock 3 for like the PS button because the PS button on the DualShock 4 doesn't work. So you kind of have like your DualShock 3 sitting on the couch next to you, and you use that to like get into the game.
It's like playing a Wii game on the Wii U. You have to use the big-ass gamepad
or it's just
to
like,
load the game.
Like playing anything with the Kinect.
So I was playing that, and this controller is really great, and that game is great. This control, I can tell right away that the dead zones on this thing are gone because the second you, I'm so used to having to push the analog stick so far to make Drake go anywhere, mm-hmm. and with this, it's like I tap it and he like jumps. Huh. So I was like falling off ledges because I just tap it, and it's like it clearly wasn't made for this controller. It was clearly designed for. Play with the DualShock 3.
Yeah, I'm sure they've retooled the analogs pretty significantly.
Yeah, they feel. I mean, they even without it plugged into anything, they feel tighter. The biggest difference is the analogs, the triggers, which feel completely amazingly better. They feel better than the Xbox 360 controller for sure. The face buttons, I don't know. I think they probably also feel better than the 360 control. I mean, definitely the D-pad. The D-pad's amazing. It's super clicky now. Because it's just digital.
Clicky there's, like typing it. Noises?
What?
Clicky like typing noises?
Like, you hear that?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah, I hear it, yeah.
That's the D-pad.
I heard it's a lot like a Vita D-pad.
I have a Vita, so I can't... I mean, it's kind of... It just feels like a DS3 D-pad, but better.
Jimmy, why don't you buy a Vita?
Yeah.
I probably will end up buying a Vita at some point. But before I buy a Vita, I need to buy Killzone Shadowfall, which I have in my hands right now.
Well, you already got it, so there you go. Buy a Vita.
Yeah. Box is blue. The okay. box says on the back that it will run in 1080p, which is cool. The
are
box.
There any, are there any quotes from reviewers on the box?
No.
Best game not. Of E3 2013?
The big banner on the back is, "What will you sacrifice for peace?" And it says that I'm gonna play as Lucas Kalan. I don't know.
Guy's a baller.
It says 45 GB minimum hard drive install.
Holy shit!
So basically, on the PlayStation 4, you can have like 10 games, and that's it.
Yeah, because every game has to be cached to the hard drive, which is something that we should probably get to. There was a big FAQ released. We can get to it later if you want. But
no, let's go.
Okay.
I think I think I understand why. So the drive is really fucking slow. It's 5400 RPM, and I think what they want to do is they want to have it on the hard drive, and what they want you to do is they want to load it all into the pool of GDDR5, and then it'll go from there. I have no idea how else the system will work.
Well, they can't load it all because it's only 8 gigs and it's a 47 gig game.
Well, I mean, like, they're going to load everything you need for the scene you're in into the GDDR5 and just let it sit so that it's not going to be, like, it's. I feel like it's not going to be activating the hard drive as frequently as you normally might.
Maybe. I mean, the thing
is... It's SATA 2 5400, so that's uber slow. So if you're trying to manage a 45-gig game with that type of connectivity, if there's a lot of talk between... the hard drive and the stuff that's loaded up the active memory, that's going to be really, really slow.
Yeah, but it's going to be faster than reading off of a Blu-ray. I mean, a 54 RPM or 5400 RPM hard drive is faster than a Blu-ray in terms of read speeds. I mean, disk drives are like notoriously slow. So
is this like a complete install, or is it still going to need the disk, or what's going on?
I think it still needs the disk to play. I'm not entirely sure. I would imagine it must still need the disk, because otherwise, you know, piracy.
Oh, you know what else is good? Because now you need the PlayStation Plus to play multiplayer. So this game comes. There's a little. The only thing that comes with it, no manual or anything. It comes with a week of PlayStation Plus.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's
so at least fun. You get a taste. You get a taste.
Do you think you can
you're forever chasing that Plus Dragon?
Have you taken that code and put it in to see if it like pumps in an extra week on top of your amount?
No. What I did do is I put the game into my PS3 and nothing happened.
You heard it here first.
Well, I thought maybe it would be cool if you put it in and then it was like, get ready, buy
November
a PlayStation 15, 4, you idiot. 15, but no,
James Scherer, we knew you were going to do this. You little devil, you.
But
take this developer video.
It's actually, yeah, it's just a video of Shuhei Yoshida just shaking his head over and over again.
Did you guys look at that Imgur I posted?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's on the document. It's a guy who's
so
like...
yeah. Getting more into the details of the PlayStation 4 info dump, there are some things to be discussed here.
Yeah, there are. One that really jumped out at me actually was at least at launch, the only way to export gameplay will be through the share function, which I'm assuming means capture cards are kind of fucked.
Mm-hmm.
Which might be the thing that Sessler was going on about, actually, to kind of jump around, because that would really hurt him, because he does a lot of YouTube editing.
So does everybody.
That's true. Yeah, so that's weird.
It's really weird. So, okay, basically, for anybody that doesn't understand... It's like, if you want to capture video from your device, like, you buy this really expensive box, or not so expensive box, plug it in to your, or plug your system into that, and then that to your TV, and you basically use that as, like, a device that sucks all the video out of the system. But now, you can't do that.
So they say. I mean...
There's gotta be... I mean, can't...
At launch.
I know nothing about this. I know nothing about this, but it seems like you could, like, get something in between the HDMI and your TV.
Yes. That's encrypted, so you can't really do that.
There are ways to do it, but they are illegal,
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's hard. I mean, you could also just, like, export your video to YouTube or whatever, or upload it all on Twitch, take your Twitch stream, and then download the entire stream that you took, and then edit the stream. But that's, like, a huge hassle, and you get unbelievable compression and stuff.
Exactly.
Is Twitch free?
Yes.
I have no idea. Which, do you have a Twitch account, Griffin?
Yes, I have all of them. I don't know what they even do.
Yeah. Twitch is a pretty big deal.
Well, I mean, like, I have accounts on all of them, but I don't really know how to use them.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah. But you can make a lot of money on Twitch. I know that much, because you can charge people $5 to subscribe to your channel.
Yeah.
To get some hot emotes. I'm not even joking. Well,
so the reason why
crazy plan.
I think this is extra crappy and also crazy. So the PS4 only has an HDMI out.
Yeah.
Like, so if you don't have an HD TV, you can't plug in like a composite or component cable, which, you know, it's easy to say like, who doesn't have an HD TV? But it's also, you know, the same people that probably don't have internet or whatever.
Yeah, I mean,
and
it's going
to
limit their market.
Crappy for me, since I capture off a really crappy card that just uses like component, and I can't do that anymore.
That sucks, man.
Now that's also the case on the One, right? That it only has HDMI.
That I don't know.
I guess we'll find out.
I saw one. I didn't play it, and there weren't actual games running on it, but it was sitting there in a display, like not quite hooked up yet, and
waiting.
Really looked really bad.
Really?
It looks really ugly. It's really fat, and the camera
huge.
Is huge.
Yeah, the Kinect is a monster.
The Kinect is huge, and the console is gigantic, and it looks so stupid. It's like, I don't. It looks like something that you would like use to make sure that your car battery wasn't dead. It looks so bad.
It looks like an 8 CD changer that's stuck in the back of somebody's like 1982 Porsche.
Yeah, it definitely has a super 80s vibe about it.
Yeah.
I've always felt that way about the aesthetic. Even the PS4 has that as well.
It has. To me, it's always looked like a premium device that's trying to disguise its poor design in like this glossy premium look. Like a charter plane or something where you're like, that's ugly. That is a bazillion dollar device that's ugly.
It has so many, when you're really looking at it, it strikes you like how many fins it has. And I don't know if those actually let heat out, but if they do, that thing probably gets so hot because it's like 75% fins. I mean,
I feel like they would never allow like a repeat of what happened at their launch last generation with the heat issues. So I'm guessing that they just went all out just to make sure that it did not ever overheat because they didn't want that debacle again.
Sorry,
go ahead, Jamie.
I was just going to say, I'm making fun of it. It didn't look that bad, but it looked chunky. It just didn't look sleek at all.
That's too bad.
Yeah. And also, even the way it was set up, it's like it's trying to mask how big it is. Like only half of it is like coming out of the display.
Did it do like a dating website angle?
Kind of. It was doing the console equivalent of duck lips.
Okay. Did it have like a much hotter console next to it, and you couldn't tell which one was which?
I'll just trick in the book.
Well, the best part about my whole experience at GameStop today, though, was I went up to the guy after my friend bought the DualShock 4, and I was like, hey, I also hear you guys are selling Killzone early. And he looks at me for a solid 30 seconds. Not 30. It felt like 30 seconds. It was probably 5. And then he goes, yeah. And then he kneels down to like the lowest drawer, opens it up, and like rifles for like a minute or so and comes out with this Killzone. And then he asks his buddy, he's like, can I sell this? And the guy's like, yeah.
I feel like every experience I've had in GameStop where I'm like purchasing a product or pre-ordering something, there's always this like thinly veiled undercurrent of hostility. Yep. It's like, why do you hate me, man? I'm enthusiastic about video games. Why are you treating me this way?
Well, so after that, he was totally chill. He was like, hey, do you see it says 45 gigs? You can only have like 10 games on that thing. And I was like, yep, that's going to suck.
Yeah, I guess you can swap out the hard drive that's in there for a new hard drive, I think.
Yes, as long as it's above 160 gigs.
Yeah.
Which means, right, like at least 100 gigs of your internal drive is going to be taken up by operating system. So you're only going to have like a 400 gig hard drive.
Hmm.
I don't believe that it's going to be that much for OS. That much for OS would be bananas. Like right now, it's like a gig.
It's more than a gig. It's
right
like
now?
40.
Wait, what? Well, no, I mean the OS on the PS3?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've got a 250 in there, and it's like you got about 200-ish.
That's formatting, though, because you can get the ones that have 12 gig SD flash memory on them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not that big. I mean, with formatting, you're gonna lose, you know, you're gonna lose like 20 gigs of your 160. I'm guessing they do that just so you can at least fit like a game. They want to make sure that you can fit at least one game of any upcoming release, probably.
The answer on the PlayStation 3 official for the PS3 OS is 3.5 gigs.
Okay, that makes sense.
But
just for reference, Windows is like 20 gigs.
Hmm.
And OS X is, I think, like 10.
But the interesting thing is that on NeoGAF, people were saying that, but based on what they're saying, an SSD should work, which would be cool. And that might actually give you some increased performance.
That is.
They tend to be marginal increases, though, because they're not really geared towards upgradability.
And it's a SATA 2.
Yeah.
But also, I'm more interested in just getting a 2 terabyte. And just chucking it in there because based on these numbers, I'm thinking 2 terabyte is like the way to go.
Yeah, and since you're not going to be able to expand storage through the USB ports at launch, I mean,
yeah,
it's going to be pretty tight.
I'm going to look into how much a.
I can hear you typing.
Sorry.
The curse of the mechanical keyboard.
I'm trying to type so softly.
You can't just give up.
Well, speaking of things that might irk PlayStation 3 to PlayStation 4 purchasers, if you have your new username that you were promised that you could change, well, you can't do that anymore. Again, so, not at launch.
Oh, not at launch. Okay. So you can change it eventually. Just
nope, no guarantees.
I thought they said you could either keep it or... Oh, you could either probably keep it or use your real name. That's probably
right.
What this
It was said like you can link it with your social network accounts and then have your social network account name display. But I don't know. Like, it's all starting to... All these pieces are starting to fall into place and point towards, hey, maybe all those awesome things aren't ready yet.
Yeah, well, across both consoles, but for sure, we should keep talking about the PS4.
Right.
And I just wanted to touch on the share thing a little more. We kind of started to get into it, but you didn't really talk about like the full implications, which is that if you're like a review outlet and you want to capture footage, usually you would use, you know, they'd throw you over like a capture card. You get a dev unit that makes it easier, but you're going to capture footage and then edit it. So now you can't really do that at launch, and your only option is to go through HDMI, which is an encrypted standard. It uses some kind of HCP or something.
The thing about that, though, is has there been any word on dev kits, like some special device that's mailed to individuals that should have that access to allow them to do that stuff?
So here's the thing. Only a few dev units have been sent out, and this is where, you know, there's a lot of speculation going on. You know, people at NeoGAF are theory crafting like crazy and stuff.
Weird.
And they're coming up with people are thinking that maybe the PSN is not in great shape right now, because I guess only like IGN is like the only video site that has a dev unit right now. Huh. It's weird. So I don't know. I would assume that's available, but I think the launch is looking a little spotty. As it is with the Xbox One, as it is in a lot of cases, but it's looking like not everything is where it ought to be yet. Hmm. And that kind of also comes through, and I'm guessing, actually, we'll get to these other things, like at launch, unless you install the day one update that is going to come with the console, your console will not be able to play Blu-rays.
Hilarious.
Yep. Yes. I mean, I don't think that's the worst thing ever, no.
No, it's just, I guess, stupid that these consoles require day one updates in this day and age. It just shows that they were pushing so hard to get this thing out the door that they were just going to finalize the software after production began.
I thought that the the Blu-ray drive was not because of like a technical issue that they didn't have resolved, but it was a licensing issue. Like, in order to have that Blu-ray player functioning as a Blu-ray player, they have to pay some fee somewhere. So. And if by they are able to track it by having people go online, download this patch, and then the Blu-ray registers online as a Blu-ray player, and they're able to export some costs somewhere instead of just blanket paying for this service like across all machines.
I guess so. It's weird though, because Blu-ray is a Sony technology.
Sony is also easier. You know, not 100% a unified system.
Yeah. It's just a little sloppy. I mean, it's not the end of the world, but it is a funny little bit. And it's also funny that you can request like a special activation disc.
Yeah. Anybody got their Netflix discs still?
I still have mine, actually.
I have mine.
I mean, I think it's really weird only in that the PlayStation 3, like one of the biggest selling points was it's the best Blu-ray player out there. And it just works. And now you lose that bullet point.
Yeah, which is disappointing. I don't know why they wouldn't work harder on that, but that's life. And then the other things, and I think this is all a money issue, just shaving off pennies here and there. MP3 play lack is not supported, and CDs are not supported. And
CDs is my favorite part.
Did you see my note there about how I won't be able to listen to my Weird Al Greatest Hits?
Is that not available on Music Unlimited?
It might be. Yeah, that's the only major implication, which is that if you want to listen to other shit on your PS4 while you were playing games, you have to use Music Unlimited, which is pretty stupid because nobody wants to use that shit.
Nope.
Just a quick poll here. Does anybody listen to other music on their system while they're playing games?
Nope.
Okay, right. So, yeah.
But there are plenty of people who do.
I don't know if that really... I think this is just a thing that the internet wants to complain about.
That's fair. And Shuhei Yoshida, I posted a tweet log. Somebody tweeted him, or a bunch of people were tweeting him about the MP3 support, and also DLNA, which is like network devices streaming content to your PS4, which is not supported.
I'm pretty upset about that. I did use that on my PS3.
Yeah. Well, he said that he's sharing it with the PS4 dev team for future consideration.
Yes. And hopefully, much like the PS3, inversely with the PS3, as functionality was stripped away as time went on, hopefully these things will be unlocked because, you know, PlayStation 4 seems to be for the people, and much like the PlayStation 3 was at launch. So hopefully these pieces will come back.
Yeah.
I hope so.
That'd be nice.
So you can get a 2 terabyte hard drive for like a 7200 RPM 2 terabyte hard drive for like $100 at Micro Center. So yeah.
You'd have to see. I would wait until like Eurogamer does an analysis using different types of storage, because when they looked at SSDs on the PS3, the games were next to nothing. Like, they were almost no gains. The only games that saw any gains at all were ones that had like a lot of textures to stream. So I think Rage saw marginal gains, but you'd be surprised how little it matters in the kind of controlled environment of like
a console. Go buy a PC guy.
Yeah, you might be spending your money better if you just get literally a 5400 RPM hard drive. it might even be more reliable.
Definitely. That's why the green ones, the Western Digital green ones, are the only ones that are like certified never to die in within 2 years or something.
Yeah,
but I just saw that particular one on the page.
Oh yeah, so no, I just wanted to make sure I got that bit in, because it's important to understand it just doesn't work like a PC.
You can't just go on.
No, you go, please.
I was just gonna say, you can't. From what it looks like, it's not like the PS3 in that you open a little door, it swings out, and you switch it. You gotta like crack it open, and like it looks like a more in-depth process.
I don't think it's too bad. I seem to recall watching it. But yeah, more stuff comes out. It's not just a little side pocket. I think you take the top off first, and then you can do it.
Take your top off.
That's more fun. Have you guys seen the Nyko? Like the Nyko or Mad Catz or whatever third-party branded PlayStation 3 hard drives in stores?
No, but that's terrible.
No, it's like, would you like to buy a hard drive that will work with your PlayStation 3? It has the Nyko name on it. Here's the instructions. Just jam this thing in there.
That's horrible.
It's great. It's make that thing more consumer friendly.
It's Nyko. Nyko makes bad products.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying like it's cool that is available. Like that there's enough of a market of people saying like, I want a new hard drive for my PlayStation 3, and it's not completely terrifying to do that.
Okay, I understand what you're saying.
But yeah,
yes, right. It's cool that people are not afraid of upgrading their console hard drive.
It sucks that it's going to be like a double price mistake that a person is going to have to make to learn how to do that.
Yep. It reminds me of the official like Nintendo branded Sanyo SD cards that were like $40 when you can get like a store brand one for
$10. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it has better read write speeds and better reliability. Oh, consumer ignorance.
I'm still excited, though. I mean, this is all bad news, and I recognize that it's all bad news, and it's not making it through. I'm still like, I'm going to go get this game. It's going to sit on my desk for 2 weeks. I don't care. I'm going to hold it in my
hands. Besides them just completely shutting down CD Play, which I think is hilarious again, because it's like, okay, let's let that media go. I love the other part where it's like, how quiet is the PlayStation 4? And then there's like, it's just like a picture of an airplane with a big X over it.
What? I have to find this now. I didn't see that part.
I didn't see that either.
Well, okay, there's not a picture of an airplane with an X over it, but it says...
You lie!
it says... I just love the wording for it, where it's like, hey, is that thing not really fucking loud anymore?
And what's the answer they give?
It's a place to, or is it a plane, an airplane with an X over it.
I'm so confused.
It says it's generally optimized for living room use.
There we go. Thank you. Yeah.
I'm optimized for living room use.
Which means that most of the time it will be fine, and then right before its death, it'll go like mine did.
I like the follow-up question. Does the PS4 system feature a quote standby mode? Not at launch, bitch.
No. Which is actually a bigger selling point than I had believed, because people seem to be up in arms about that as well. And I'm like,
people are up in arms about everything. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Let it go.
There was someone commenting who was like, all of my systems are in standby mode all the time. What am I going to do now?
Was that guy's name Adam Orth, ex-Microsoft employee?
Whoa, deal with it.
I don't know. When does the Xbox One even come out?
11/22.
20 second.
20 seconds, so like a week or two.
Yeah.
Okay. It's Toys R Us hot toy of the month. Hot times. It's like a 10 hots.
Have you guys seen
about that?
Dig it.
The Xbox One or the PS4?
It's Oprah's One. Device of the year.
It probably is.
There's been a lot of stories on the blogs about like one or the other investor guy being like, I looked at the metrics of how steeply the Xbox One is being resold, and I predict that it will completely outsell the PlayStation 4. And then someone else will say the exact same thing, but for the PlayStation 4. Yep. And it's just going back and forth.
And then you find out that it's just Michael Pachter, like, putting on a mustache, glasses, and then taking it off.
You, sir, are a formidable opponent.
It's Michael Pachter and Michael Pachter.
But then the EA guy or an Activision – no, it was an EA guy was like, we're 100% confident that there will be 10 million of them combined by March.
I do. Wow. I do love that. And that was in EA's press conference or earnings call like earlier this year where they're like, yes, we are going to do well this year. And everybody, yeah. Activision, all the other big names, publishers were like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And then EA was the only one whose stock jumped.
Yep. I don't think there's going to be 10,000 or 10 million of them next year. No. I think there maybe will be possibly 5 million. Yeah. Maybe.
We'll see how well Call of Duty Ghosts sells.
There's going to be 100% more dog pixels on the PS4 version. Because the PS4 version will be in 1080p and the Xbox.
Oh my god, that made version. That permeated to the bros. The bros,
oh, for real?
The bros were talking about that. The bros were playing their... First of all, the bros said that Madden
2025.
First of all, they said that booted FIFA, so now they're all about Madden. And I was like, wait, do you guys just not play FIFA anymore? And they're like, no.
FIFA's dumb.
Now. Madden. And then they were talking about how they're all going to get PS4s because 1080p.
Because they realize that the CODs they used to play were rendered at like sub-native resolutions, so they weren't even at 720p?
I never questioned them.
Okay.
There's no use. You can't ever...
It's interesting how the bros internalize the talking points.
I think it's weird that the bigger point is if you're worried about your resolutions and you're playing a console game, like you have a lot bigger issues you should be dealing with. Like, it's not going to be good. Deal with it. If it looks good, it looks good, fine. But if you're worried about counting pixels and lines, go to a fucking PC.
I think that's fair, but I also think there's nothing wrong with buying like the nicer looking version. I mean, people do that shit all the time.
Right, but then, you know,
it's still worth something.
There's always the give and take where it's like, oh yeah, well, there's you get 18 more scan lines on this, but the depth of color is worse. And you're like, I don't even know
all I know is that Eurogamer is like crapping their pants over at Digital Foundry about this stuff.
Yeah.
They're like, the difference is appreciable.
What is this Eurogamer that you're mentioning so a lot now?
You're not familiar?
No, I'm looking at now. What is it?
Are you serious?
They're a pretty good source. You should start checking them out. They do pretty good coverage, and they're very well known in the gaming sphere for like their technical coverage when they look at like the game's rendering techniques and like its graphic performance.
They're essentially like the Famitsu of technical stuff.
Is they're like the advanced tech of...
Okay, sorry. They're the old Famitsu of technical stuff.
Okay, you mean like respectable?
Respectable.
Okay, because the Famitsu doesn't really have a good connotation anymore.
No, I'm saying like old Famitsu of tech. Like the best thing that comes out of Europe.
Yeah. They're a good site. You should definitely put them in your rotation.
Jamie, would it sway you if I said that N. Guy Kroll wrote for them or writes for them?
Oh, nice. It would sway. I'm looking at their website. The first story is Xbox One Resolution Gate, the 720p Fallout.
I read that story.
God, I hate games journalism.
Resolutions gate.
I mean, that's kind of their bread and butter. I think it's very popular. I think it draws a lot of clicks, their graphical analysis. But they also do have good writing, and they have good taste in indies, in my opinion, which is always important for me. And I think they write good reviews. I mean, they're short, but I generally agree with their opinions. And they're also embedded in a technical analysis, which is kind of unfortunate, I guess. But
I'm watching a video they have about this stuff, and the amount of graphs that are – it's a side-by-side comparison of
with
the Xbox One and PS4, Battlefield 4, and there's so many graphs at the same time, and the graphs are squiggling. I don't know what's going on.
It's frame rate. It's frame rate over time.
Oh, okay. There was more than one, though.
Yeah, they're probably one for the.
This is appreciable even on a YouTube video. If on a YouTube video that's minimized, I can see a difference, then that's probably a decent difference, right?
I mean, that probably wouldn't be a resolution difference. That'd probably be.
No, it's like everything else. It's like the explosions are more.
Yeah, I mean, they said they're using more lens flare on the Xbox One version to cover up graphical issues. There is a resolution difference between the Battlefield 4 one as well. I think it's 1600 by 900 versus 1280 by 720.
Gotcha. So do you think this? Do you guys think that this will make people's minds up, or do you think this will? No.
Nope.
I think the bros seem to like it.
No.
But who knows what they're thinking?
I think if you can say, like, in a very simplified version, like, this runs at 1080p, but then you run into confusion because everybody last gen was like, yeah, it ran at 1080p. I don't think it really matters. Like,
and here's the other thing:
if you can trick people to think both are equal, which they will, then it's a moot point. So who cares?
And here's the other thing. Almost all development now is targeted at multi-platform, so you have to go for the lowest common denominator. Mm-hmm. If your game doesn't look good on the Xbox One, you fucked up. So, like, you have to make it look good on both consoles.
Yeah.
I think it's a good bullet point. I think it's a great bullet point because the price on Sony's console is lower, too. I think those two things together are pretty compelling, but it's not. Better graphics have never won a generation on their own.
Right.
Yeah.
Wait for Uncharted. Next Uncharted, I think at that point, when you can see it, like the graphical difference between an in-house PlayStation 4 game and like something exclusive to the Xbox, like it'll probably be noticeable at that point.
I'm kind of hoping that I'll see that in Killzone because it looks really, I mean, it looks weird. Like it looks like an EDM rave, like someone took a lot of Molly and then designed a video game.
Everything it's all like contrasting complementary colors where it's like blue and orange neons.
Yeah, exactly.
Like 2009 box art cover.
See, exactly. I like the sound of that, but I don't like first person shooters.
Well, I'll tell you how it is. I'm hoping that it looks amazing. I'm hoping that it will show me the full power of the PlayStation 4.
I'm hoping that it's fun. That's my biggest fear, that I'm not going to have anything fun to do.
You won't.
I'm really glad that they're giving me indies in the beginning, and I do like side-scrolling shooters, so I think I'm going to have fun with Resogun.
Jeff, I will say this here. You will not like Killzone 4.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Why?
Because Killzone games have never been good.
But this one has an owl.
He says this, but he also bought. He likes Killzone.
I like Killzone,
but this one has good games. This one has an owl, and you can tell it to do stuff.
That's fun.
That sounds fun.
Does the owl? Is the owl like the dog? Is it like the PS4 dog?
It's like the PS4 floating dog.
Year of the Owl. Does it have a song by Owl City in it?
It has a song by Hootie and the Blowfish in it. Actually,
does it die at the end of the seventh book?
Does it have a crossover with Legend of the Guardians, the Owls of Galhul? Which I had to watch with my client for job many, many times, which we should get into in this podcast.
I hear it's not bad, that movie, right? Or no, that's How to Train Your Dragon, which
is not bad. It's terrible.
Oh, well, buzzing.
How to Train Your Dragon is a good movie.
Okay,
I mean, it's
amazing.
Not, yeah,
it's amazing.
Yeah, it's not. It's not like
your tongue.
It's not the best movie ever made, but it's a good movie.
So, Jeff, you're calling it Year of the Owl 2014.
Yes.
Or 2013, because...
2013 was the year of Luigi and the year of the dog.
Can I talk about something? Luigi.
Yes.
I didn't put this on the thing, but I can't stay for too much longer, and I'm curious to see what you guys think about this. So I noticed that on Polygon, which is a website that I like, they do this thing, and they did it for the new Birdman, where they make a review. Mm-hmm. They make a review and they say, here's the Burtman. It gets sevens on every console. And then 2 days later, they say, hey, there was a patch. Now Burtman doesn't work on anything but the Wii U. So we're going to drop all the scores except on the Wii U to 4.
They and do then, that with something else.
And then 2 days from now, when they fix it, they're going to bring it back up and they're going to sit it at like 6.5. And I don't really...
Never like, stop reviewing.
I think they did that for Sims, actually.
Or not it's Sims. Like, SimCity.
SimCity, yeah, they did that for SimCity. And I think it's kind of... I mean, it's good that you're drawing that much attention to it because if... I mean, that's your job. You don't want someone to buy this game and then not be able to play it because... If the technical things are that crippling, but at the same time, it just seems obnoxious, and I don't know how I feel about that.
With like the floating review score of like, yeah, hey.
I would say it makes the original score feel kind of disingenuous, and it makes you feel like they haven't done their job very well.
They should just like be constantly reviewing it. So from like point A to disc in, they need to start typing, and then the review score like ebbs and flows as their experience goes on. So you're like, oh man, that part was really cool. A++++. Oh man, I got booted out of a loading screen or something, and my console froze. B-.
So you're saying this, and one of the old magazines, it might have been EGM, but it might have been another one, actually did this. They had a chart. And it was like a line chart, and it was like how much fun you're having over time. And it was like
the phenometer.
It wasn't a GamePro. It wasn't like that. But
was it Game Freak?
Oh yes, it was Game Freak.
Was Major Mike reviewing it? Did he give it a blastin'?
Wait, Game Freak is in the company that makes Pokemon?
No, there's Game Freak magazine.
There was a Game Freak magazine that I actually liked the best for a period of time.
Wasn't Game Freak magazine made by... I'm going to look it up. You guys keep going on.
Typing.
No one's typing.
Oh, sorry. That was me. I was looking up Game Freak magazine. Game Freak magazine, get ready for this, guys, was made by Game Freak, the Japanese company.
Really?
Huh. Yeah. You're talking about something different. Was it something different, maybe?
Maybe. Well, now I don't know. See, this is what happens when you fucking check facts, jerk, and type on your keyboard.
No.
No fact checking will be done here. But yeah.
Okay, how about Game Fan?
I feel like I'm pissed at that because it's so arbitrary. First of all, because you drop it down to 4, and it's like, what does that mean? I don't know what that means. Why 4? Why, if you can't play it, you shouldn't give it a score at all. Like, you should get an X or something.
4, not 5.
If that's and then like, and also it's can't you draw attention to it with like another article? Like, can't you just have an article saying like, hey, your Burtman won't work anymore, so don't buy it?
For someone who's not a regular reader of the website and they go to the thing and it's like, oh hey, it got a 9 out of 10 because I scrolled to the bottom. Oh shit, it doesn't work anymore. It doesn't say that in the score.
Sure.
So I understand the thought process.
Yeah.
I also just think scores are really dumb.
Agreed.
So.
That's the only thing I could think. It's like, why? So if an unplayable game is 4, what is 3?
Great title screen. Burtman, speaking of which, I've been playing some Burtman, and one of my favorite features about video games of this generation is when you start the game and it's like, you know, you're getting like the opening montage and then it's like the logos and all that stuff, and then it dumps you to the title screen, but it's like, it's like the atrium to the title screen where you're just sitting there like kind of watching a little movement, not a lot of movement, and it's like, press start to go. And then and then you press the A button or the X button, and it's like, good enough. And it just lets it go. And you're like, you didn't need to press start. It could say press any button, but it says press start, but you can press anything, and it lets you in.
Yes. That weird little video game thing that's always just been video games.
So awesome.
How's Burtman?
How is Burtman?
Yeah.
Have you played Burtman?
I haven't played it. I've read a lot of shit.
Have you played any Batman games before?
Yeah, we talked about this last week. I loved 1 and 2.
It's the same. It's the same game.
It's the same. Okay.
Yeah.
Is it the same game but worse, or is it just exactly the same?
It's the same game. So far, I haven't spent a lot of time with it. Like, I've played it for maybe 25 minutes tops. I've done the intro and I've done like the second intro, and it just seems like there's a lot of intros in that game.
A lot of intros.
Yeah.
Back of the box quote. This game has a lot of intros.
It's a lot of it's a lot of tutorials that make you feel really awesome, but then it makes me remember how much there was to do in the previous Batman games, and I'm not ready for it.
Like so much.
It's like, you know, when you open up like the World of Warcraft map and it's like, oh, you're just like, oh, fuck, there's yellow exclamation points everywhere. I can't even see the features of the land. It's like that. Like, you go there and I did a couple missions and it was like, now the Riddler's calling you and, oh, his name is Enigma. Blah, would you like to? Now your map has all these Enigma spots on it. And I'm like, I can't count them.
Yeah, that's kind of why I'm playing, I want you to talk more about Batman, but I'm playing, I just want to say real quickly that I'm playing more Zelda Wind Waker, and it's just so beautiful. There's like one thing to do. It's great.
Great game.
Great.
But,
great. Never played.
How about, so when you say that it's exactly the same, it's like, did they add new moves?
So here's the biggest difference is you have a hub, you have like a home base.
Batcave.
Yeah. So if like, your first Arkham Asylum was like a very linear process, but with backtracking a la Castlevania. And then the second game was like your open world endeavor. Like, you know, it's open world, but also instanced. If you want to consider it that way. This game is like all of those combined. And now there's a home base where you can do shit. So, I mean, yeah, that is my thought. It's just,
It's like Laura's house in Tomb Raider 2.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, yeah.
Can you trap Alfred in the freezer?
No, but my favorite thing to do, my favorite thing to
awesome
do is...
secrets in Laura's house in Tomb Raider 2.
Yeah.
Like what?
You could find pistols in the house, and you could find secret range. Fire the pistols?
There were timed switches all over the house. There was some kind of garden puzzle you could do.
Well, the garden,
there.
The garden puzzle was the
better
the
or
obstacle
worse
course.
Than the Data Dine facility in Perfect Dark.
I never really got into that game too much outside of the multiplayer, unfortunately.
Okay.
All right. But Tom Clayton did buy the extra RAM to shove in your sorry N64's face. To make it actually work when you played multiplayer.
I've got a couple of those, actually. They're great.
That was great for Majora's Mask.
Yep.
Oh, really?
You go from 2 megabytes to 4 megabytes.
Wow!
And it also makes your N64 look way more badass with that red like red grill just grinning at you.
I cannot disagree. That is a true statement if I ever heard one.
So Batman is more Batman, essentially. I mean, hey, surprise. it's a game that has had two really good games, and the third game is not done by the same studio, so it's in the same vein with marginal improvements.
There's a lot of speculation going around that. So people were saying this was gonna, at first the rumors like a year ago were that this was gonna be like Silver Age Batman, and then it was like that it's gonna be early Batman, and now Rocksteady is still maybe working on Batman, and maybe. The voice actor in the other Batmans is. Said he's doing a Batman game. So a lot of people are thinking that like now this studio is going to be like the Treyarch and then Rocksteady is going to be the Infinity Ward. And the next Infinity Ward Rocksteady Batman we're getting is like a true Silver Era Batman, which I'm really excited about.
Troy Baker.
Yeah. No Mark Hamill. No. God, what's the Batman voice actor name? You know it, Jamie?
No.
Okay.
That
Troy Baker.
Yeah. Yep.
No, isn't it like Shane something or another?
No.
Jaleel White.
I've listened to an interview with Mark Hamill recently, complete like where he's talking about his time being the Joker and doing that stuff. And if you were following that saga of him not reprising his role as Joker, it was rumored like, oh, he's too tired and it hurts his throat and they gave him throat cancer. Like it gave him Heath Ledger throat cancer. And no, he's just like, yeah, I would like to do the Joker again. I like playing the Joker. That's me, okay? Like, so it's not because he's dying. It's just because they didn't ask him. So if you want to get on Neil Gaff conspiracy train, Jamie, it's probably because he's doing another game.
Gotcha. On the conspiracy crazy buttocks on a train?
Oh! I'm getting actually a little fed up with that nonsense at this point, because it's like, he's not saying anything interesting anymore.
He really isn't. He essentially is corroborating existing rumors. It's like, okay, cool.
Wait,
I guess.
Who are we talking about? Who?
There's this user on GameFAQs on NeoGAF called called Crazy Buttocks on a Train, and his like trademark is that he types these posts that are in like incredibly broken half English with numerous punctuation and spelling errors that like disguise information related to upcoming console release, and nobody exactly knows why he does it this way, but that's like his hook. So he'll like do a post, and it's like,
he's like the Sacha Baron Cohen of video game posting.
Yeah, and then someone will always like come and translate it, and it'll be like, oh, the Xbox Live is not ready yet.
Which, speaking of which, Jeff, I think you had posted something on here about maybe, Aaron, we mentioned earlier, maybe the Xbox isn't raring to go.
Yeah, so there's been numerous claims, not just Crazy Buttocks, but there's been a lot of stuff floating around that Snap, which is, you know, their big feature where you put, you know, your Pizza Hut order on the left side and your, I don't know, Danica Patrick video that you're fabbing to on the upper right or something.
And then your Halo, live action Halo video.
Yeah, then you're like your Halo TV spot
Red
is on the
Blue
lower right.
Clips and IGN app.
Whatever.
Do you realize how many people are really excited about the four things that we just mentioned and their Xbox One?
Well, bad news to those people, because apparently it's super broken right now and it could like crash the system, you know, which is to be expected. You know, party chat apparently is not working. Other live features apparently.
Kevin
not
Conroy.
Working.
Okay, sorry. Yeah.
Oh, he's the Batman guy. Yeah. Yeah, so that's all not working. I mean, what that actually means, who knows. One thing that was noteworthy is that the ESRAM, which is the like Xbox or Microsoft solution to like approach parity with the faster RAM that the PS4 is using, right, has been described as a serious bottleneck that will hinder the platform throughout its entire lifespan. Who the fuck knows? I mean, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not. I mean, we have to see what the direction of multi-platform development is.
Yep.
I'm guessing they're going to tailor their development around that. So I don't think that's a huge problem.
When, you know, both systems have equal footing.
Yeah, so we're going to have to see. I mean, I don't think that that makes or breaks anything. It's interesting, I guess. They've been, you know, we haven't ever seen the OS except in mock-ups and, like, videos that aren't real-time.
Yep.
So people are speculating pretty hard about what the situation is going to be with it at launch. I mean, but we don't know. So it's hard to say. I mean, it's an interesting thing to theorize about, but, you know, who knows?
Yes. And speaking of which, hey, remember when there was supposed to be that beta for Xbox 360 users to get the new dashboard that's supposed to have parity with the Xbox One dashboard?
Uh-huh.
Did that ever happen?
I don't think so.
I don't think it did.
I think so.
Yeah. Apparently, if you went to the Xbox truck that had the Xbox One on it and you hit the guide button to open the OS, your turn was over. That's what people were reporting. So if you touched the guide button, they're like, okay, it's over.
That was like the button on the Steel Battalion controller, the emergency is eject.
It's like the red button from Men in Black. Okay. You never push the red button.
I was watching videos of The Witness on YouTube, and then I kind of went down the YouTube rabbit hole. And I bring this up because we were talking about the ERAM problem. And there were a bunch of indies on YouTube saying things along the lines of, the PlayStation 4 having that giant pool of GDDR5 makes it so that you can like throw together something and you really don't need to be that good at programming or spend that much time fine-tuning, and your like shittily haphazardly put together game can run fine. So like I think that might be where the difference between the RAMs comes out in the future, is because some indie guy can just throw together some piece of shit and it'll run fine on the PS4, and like he doesn't need to spend years tweaking it to make it work, whereas that might not be as possible on the 360 or One potentially.
So what you're saying is I made a game with zombies in it too will be a PlayStation 4 exclusive.
I think that's very astute, Jamie. I think it's interesting that, and it's kind of ironic, but I think you're onto something, that the people who are going to benefit most from this are not the big corporations, because they're going to build some kind of middleware that is going to work across every development environment. But like, you know, Joe Indy or whatever is just going to be making, you know, his game, and whatever is easiest to develop for is what he's going to gravitate towards.
Joseph Indy.
Joseph Indy.
His real name's Ezra Joseph Indy.
Josiah Indy.
He wears a monocle. He's got the Miley Cyrus haircut, so half his shave.
He's selling out, but he's doing it ironically.
When did the Skrillex haircut become the Miley Cyrus haircut?
When Skrillex didn't get on a wrecking ball and make a video about it.
Are you sure that didn't happen?
It probably happened, but he didn't show as much.
Okay.
He wasn't willing to show nip. So it's a classic mistake.
Not like Ellen Page.
Oh.
Beyond. Nakedness. She's suing over that.
I hear that.
It's crazy to me.
I am ready for that lawsuit to happen.
Wait, what is she suing over? Tell me about this.
Do you want to take this, Griffin? No,
all you.
So there's a hack or something where you can basically there's a shower scene in the game and you can get it so that you can see her nakedness.
Yeah.
Whole body.
Boobs.
Whole body. And apparently
boobs.
Signed up for it. It can't be her because she never did any capture like that. But it's someone else. But when she signed the contract,
it's just an archive. It's a digital thing that's not her.
Why are you ruining my fantasy, Jamie?
But the point is that when she signed the contract with whatever, I forget the name, those French people. When she signed the contract stipulated that there would be no nudity.
Yeah.
And now there is. So
apparently she has that like as a writer in all of her stuff.
But it's
Ellen Page, never nude.
But it's Tobias Funke.
Yeah. There's been jean shorts on that 3D model of me.
If they put her in jean shorts, that would have been the most wonderful thing. Cut off.
Oh, God. I wish I was better at Photoshop, because that would be the best podcast image
Photoshop
of a lifetime.
In the history of time. So she's not naked, though. It's clearly not her. You can just make some boobies out of 3D modeling.
That's the hairiness, of it. Okay. It's like, is it a digital representation?
Oh, is it
a digital likeness? Is it hairy? Does it have tentacles?
It's so weird.
Yeah.
I can't believe she's suing over that.
A dude's body. Just
but,
a giant beam.
Okay, so here's the other thing, though. It's like, apparently the model is, like, fully modeled.
So wait, if the model was exposed and, like, it didn't have nipples, would she be like, okay?
Presumably, yes, but like it has all the pieces.
So because some overzealous like programmer, some neckbeard programmer added to Ellen Page's 3D model, now the studio is getting sued.
Right, yeah.
Oh, I guess I better delete all my fan arts.
No.
In case they ever
you
get
hold
leaked.
On to that just in case the lawsuit doesn't go through.
You gotta wait until after the lawsuit is decided and then just delete everything.
It's like Bitcoin. It might be worth so much more later. I have no idea.
That's so odd. I know.
It's like the new weird era, this frontier of like real actors being in video games and the shit that accompanies that.
The thing that I was wondering is like, if that's the case, then like, how do voice actors go about doing like, so, you know, what if Alec Baldwin in Spirits Within, like, there was a hack and you could see his dick?
Like, I would buy that movie.
You would be the first person to do it.
I saw Spirits Within in theaters with Sean Banny.
I saw Spirits Within theaters with my dad. That was really awkward.
Did he talk to you about sex afterwards?
No, he fell asleep.
I feel like that would have been the perfect time.
Yeah.
Like you can only go up from Final Fantasy Spirits Within.
Yep, that's true.
That's.
I'm gonna sign off soonish. Mm.
We should talk about before you go, Jamie. We should talk about that picture that I sent you guys of the PC Gamer email.
Oh yeah.
I feel like you could weigh in on it. Well, I mean, maybe not.
I don't.
It's not that.
I think
that thing.
We can NeoGAF the shit out of this and dig way into it and speculate, but yeah, it's interesting.
I mean, just because I feel like Jamie would have something to say about it for some reason. I don't know why.
since we're on the fake lawyer tangent, let's keep going further.
As a paralegal, I can tell you that if I were working on this case, I would have made a binder and given it to a lawyer.
I might have made coffee.
I would have made coffee.
So I'll just tell people what the deal was. Notch, who made Minecraft, he shared an email or an image of an email that PC Gamer had sent him when they're like, hey, you've won 13 Game of the Year awards. If you want to use them, just give us $500 per award.
Per logo.
Or you can get the special bundle price of $6,000 for any logo you want.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I find it surprising that, because I just took this as a given. Like, of course this is happening. Like, on some level, this is happening. And it's maybe less insidious than people are making them believe, because it's not like they're selling the actual award. He got the award. They're basically selling his company's right to use their logo, which they own, and which they would need to buy anyway if they were going to put it on, like, a game box.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
I'm right there.
But I feel like it's still pretty sleazy.
Yeah.
It's that kind of sleaze you know is happening, you just don't want to hear about.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. I just thought it was really, really ridiculous. I just, like, my initial reaction to it was like, wow. It's such a cash grab. It's so blatant and it's so gross. It's also like, he doesn't even need it. It's like,
yeah,
it's not. $10 million.
That's the most amazing part about it. Why did you even think that he wouldn't do this.
I think, Jeff, the most amazing part is the awards they gave him. Read through that list of hot trash nonsense that they made, like, most addictive iPhone game, most engaging Apple device product game.
It's so weird because the game came out.
Fun device on the handheld.
It came out in, like, 2010, and it's like,
Minecraft Pocket Edition, Game of the Year of 2011.
It's so weird. I think there were way too many awards in there in the mix, and so many of them were like out of date. Like, the game came out a long time ago.
Right. One of them was like, it's like Game of the Year Minecraft Patch 2.067.
That's what made me. That's what struck me as like being slimy. Like, do they give their? They must just give their Game of the Year award like candy. It's like it must just go to whoever wants to give them $500.
Well, clearly it is if they're giving their Game of the Year award out in what, fucking October.
Yep.
Plus, it's PC Magazine. Like, despite all their demographics, like, who buys that?
Yeah, I know, right?
What and is they say PC that, like, Magazine?
They say something ridiculous, like 50% of consumers know us.
Right. More than 800 bazillion times viewership than CNN.
That was the best part. They were like, hey, check it out. Look at this chart. If you want to get as many eyeballs as you possibly can, you better turn to PC Gamer. Right.
Brought to you by Ziff Davis, a company that still exists.
Were they like this when they owned 1UP? Is this like, are they just a shell of their former selves? I don't understand.
I've heard they were good at one point, but, you know, they're still a big, ugly conglomerate sort of company.
Hmm. Yeah.
I mean,
hey, remember how Fox News owned IGN or owns it still?
Trust the people. Trust the people, not the name.
Yeah, for sure. Sorry, go ahead, Jamie.
This just reminds me of the whole Jeff Gerstmann thing. Like, if he was getting that kind of pressure to rate the game in that way, then of course there was something going on. It might not have been directly like kickbacks, but something was wrong, and wrong enough so that he got fired and had to make his own website.
Yep.
Like, that in and of itself just shows how slimy things are and for how long they've been slimy.
Everything, it goes both ways, though. It's not just like these, you know, it's everything sucks. Everybody is going to try and make a buck off everything, and you know what? Why the hell not?
Everything is terrible.
Yep, everything is terrible. Read the review. 8.5 out of 10. Rent, not buy this review.
Yeah. Jamie, you were saying that a bunch of marquee PS4 titles were getting, or next-gen titles were getting mediocre reviews. And so I haven't been reading the reviews because I'm honestly not interested in any next-gen titles right now. And I went to Metacritic, and Assassin's Creed 4 has 88. And the other one has like 84. Tell me about that.
So all the websites that I go to, the scores are like 7, you know, and then somehow on Metacritic it's higher. I don't know. But on all, like, so everything that I've read about the new Pirate Ninja
the game.
Everything that I've read about that game says, like, it's pretty good. It's nice to explore, but it gets really repetitive really fast.
Okay. And I figured that was the case. I just thought it was really funny that the mediocre game had an 88 Metacritic, not because I thought you were wrong, but because I'm sure they're like, hey, next gen, 10 out of 10.
And then people are saying about BF4 that the multiplayer is fine, but some parts of it are jacked, and the single player is abysmal, okay, as per usual.
Yep.
And so it was just like very expected reviews. I've already reviewed Killzone Shadowfall. It's up.
What do you got?
Good sweet.
What do you
get? It got a 20 out of 10.
Okay.
And because of the box.
How would you rate the fun factor?
The fun factor of the box is, I would say, 9.85.
So you're saying it's not a mixed bag?
No, it's not a mixed bag. Okay. There's nothing wrong with this game.
If I liked previous Killzone games, will I like this Killzone game box?
So the way that I played, so I have to, full disclosure, I don't have a PlayStation 4 yet. So the way that I played this game is I spin the disc on my hand like a basketball, and I put my tongue on it. Okay. And then my tongue reads the data into my brain. And so I have the controller in my hand, but it's like my tongue is the HDMI cable and my brain is the TV.
Oh, can I blow your mind? It's like how everybody reviews Grand Theft Auto games minus the Coke on the disc.
can I blow your mind with a new method of playing that game, Jamie? Take the box and then hold it like sideways, like it's a gun, and go meow.
That's essentially what I'm doing.
That's a good way to experience another dimension.
I have to go, but I want to say a couple things. First of all, I'm in my hands right now. In my right hand is DS4, and the left hand is Xbox 360. DS4 makes the Xbox 360 controller feel really shitty. And the other thing I want to say is I tried the Ace Attorney demo on 3DS. That game's awesome. I'm probably going to buy it. That game's super fun.
I want impressions super fun. When you get it, Jamie.
I will. But I think it's like the writing is hilarious. I had a ton of fun in the demo. And I will also say that Wind Waker is amazing. And I can't believe I never played that game. I love that game. It looks beautiful on the Wii. And Jeff, I know you have it. Griffin, you don't have a Wii U, do you?
Nope. Neither have I ever played Wind Waker.
Oh, then it's like almost worth it. It's just so good. And the game does little things that games don't do anymore that make me so happy. Like it just lets you fall into the lava and die. Like there's nothing stopping me from falling into the lava and dying because I pressed the wrong direction. Whereas in a new game, if I press the wrong direction, the game's just like, no, it's okay. Don't worry. We're not going to let you fall off. It's okay. And then just little things that I haven't seen in games for a long while. Just like not really – like you have to figure out where the hell to go. There's no quest log, but you have a bunch of quests. Like how simple is that?
That's not cool. I like a quest log.
The weird thing is really forgetful. Wind Waker's not a hard game. And you're I miss all these things.
Well, it's not hard. The things that it doesn't. So the actual game is not hard. Like the bosses aren't hard. But like me not falling into the lava is hard. Or me navigating to the right island is hard because I just go to the wrong island. And it's like things like that. But I think it's fantastic. I'm happy.
Yet
I don't feel
another
shitty about
feather
owning my
in the
Wii
cap
U.
Of the Wii U.
What?
I said yet another feather in the cap of the Wii U because fucking Mario, the greatest game ever, is coming out soon. And
oh my god.
And there's that beautiful Joe game that's not the wonderful 101. What else?
Pikmin, if you like Pikmin.
No,
Pikmin.
That's dumb. Fuck Pikmin.
I don't like
Spotty Bulborbs, they're adorable.
What else?
I'm gonna play a Pikmin sometime and Earth I'm gonna
Bound,
give you guys impressions.
Speaking of old games brought new.
Apparently the new Birdman, it only works on the Wii U.
That's not true.
According to Polygon.
Fuck Polygon. Don't fuck Polygon. And, I've been playing Batman Arkham Origins or whatever the hell it's called, and it's fine.
Did you download a patch?
No.
Okay, so the problem.
Okay, yes, I downloaded a patch.
Okay.
Whatever so it did, good. I played the game when it came out, and it's fine.
No, when it came out, it was fine. And okay. Then they released a patch, and the patch fucked everything
still
up.
Still fine. Everything. I'm still playing it. I played it tonight. It's fine.
Okay.
Well, it's fine.
Anybody who played, yeah.
It's fine.
Everything's fine.
Forget about it.
That's what I said.
It's gone.
Batman, he's from New York, right? He's like, hey, forget about it. I'm a Batman.
Yeah, Gotham City, New York. Gotham City, Brooklyn.
I think the best segment we ever had on this podcast was last week or something when we were imitating the grunts in the Batman games. That was the best thing that we ever did. Anyway, I gotta run. I'll talk to you guys soon.
All right, dude.
Okay, bye.
All right.
Enjoy your PlayStation 4.
I will.
Finally, now. That guy's gone.
He smells.
Fuck Polygon. I mean, no.
I'm of the mind, kind of fuck Polygon, kind of not fuck Polygon.
Let's not do that.
Yeah, let's not. It's a waste of time.
Polygon does some good stuff.
They do.
Yeah.
They do some great stuff, and they do some not so great stuff, like every website.
I'm looking at the Google Doc right now, and I see... Yabai Ninja Gaiden Z trailer decided to approach Mel Gibson's sugar tits and feature a fairly rapey sounding protagonist. In poor taste?
I don't even have much to say about this except that I don't know what the hell they were thinking. The trailer is like, this guy's like, I know how to use my sword, sugar tits.
I don't know what's happening.
He's like, can I use my cyber eye power to look through your dress? And she's like, no. And he's like, why do I even bother? And I'm like, you are a rapist.
Is this from What Women Want? What is happening?
No, I'm talking about when Mel Gibson got a drunk driving arrest.
Oh, okay.
And he called the officer arresting him sugar tits.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, he's a good man.
Great
so
man.
They decided to take that language. They were so impressed with his performance during his arrest that they decided to do an homage to it.
Are you telling me that there's a Japanese game company out there that involves ninjas that and swords that is somehow borderlining on putting down women and objectifying them?
Actually, the developer on Yaiba Ninja Gaiden Z is Spark Unlimited, which is a California-based company.
Son of a bitch.
Whoa! Although Comcept, which is Keiji Inafune's company, is also involved. Basically, it's probably not going to be good because there's like 8 different studios working on it, and they're from across the globe.
What else did Spark Unlimited do?
I will find out by typing on my keyboard loudly.
Type. Typing of the dead. Shoot this word.
So they did, let's see, Medal of Honor. Wait, what? No, Call of Duty Finest Hour for the GameCube, PlayStation 2, and Xbox. Turning Point, Fall of Liberty. Legendary.
My
Lost
question is,
Planet 3.
Great. Perfect. Excellent. Yes. Yeah. Why not? Did they have any hand in Metroid Other M?
No, that would be Team Ninja.
Okay, only Team Ninja.
Team Ninja without Itagaki.
Right, yes.
He was gone by then.
Right, yes, right.
Yeah. It's a friggin', it's so hard to keep track of all this stuff.
Yes.
But yeah, I don't have high hopes for that game at all. But you mentioned Typing of the Dead.
Yes, tell me about Typing of the Dead.
That is a great, great game. So I guess for Halloween or something, Sega released Typing of the Dead Overkill on Steam.
I just thought of the best Halloween costume ever.
What's that?
You dress up as a zombie, which sucks, and then you just have a word in big letters across your chest.
You need to have something really absurd. Like the best thing about Typing of the Dead Overkill. So yeah, you kind of touched on the whole concept of the game. Basically, it's the light gun game, House of the Dead Overkill, which is hilarious in its own right because the story is terrible. Yeah, they say motherfucker all the times.
I think when you don't press the start button at the opening of that game, you press A or you press 2 on your Wiimote, it says, motherfucker.
When you're playing the game, they have like audio tracks that play when you're in the level select menu. And one of them is just this guy going, the typing of the dead, overkill. Critics call it fucking awesome. Other critics call it motherfucking awesome. That's really funny. So anyway, so this is, you know, ridiculous, absurd light gun game where you shoot zombies, except instead of shooting them, you have to type words to kill them. But the words are hilarious. So like you'll be fighting like a fat zombie that'll be lumbering towards you, and the word will be, it's glandular.
Okay, cool.
And like another, I saw someone posted an Imgur online. It was a zombie running at someone saying, need a higher Metacritic. There's just like a lot of really hilarious things like that. And it's a super like goofball, off the wall, hilarious game. And it is so much fun. I am having a great time with it. And I would highly recommend it to anyone and everyone before November 1st, because it is $10 right now and it'll be $20.
Hot dog tomorrow. Hot deals,
yeah. Yeah, it's really good, you should check it out. But yeah, should I talk about what else I'm playing right
yeah now? While we're talking okay. about games yeah. we're playing
while we're there, so I've also been playing a little bit of Proteus.
What
are you familiar with Proteus, Griffin?
Proteus.
So Proteus, it's not a Griffin game, I will say that much.
It's not a first person shooter.
It is a first-person game, but not
is
a first-person
shooter.
Is there
an iconic comic book hero in it?
No. There is no objective.
Oh.
It's like Gone Home, except more aimless than Gone Home.
Oh, you know me well.
So Proteus is for originally for the PC. You can get it on Steam. It just came out for PS3 and Vita. I grabbed it on Vita because I love having cool indie Vita games. Price was pretty high. I paid $12 on, or like $11.34 on for the PS Plus discounted rate, which seems way too high for what you're getting. But it's a cool little game if you like indie games and you like artsy fartsy shit. Basically, every time you like load it up, you're dropped on an island, and not a very big island, and you wander the island, and depending on like the scenery and like the shit around you, you'll get different audio cues, and like you can encounter little Easter eggs and things, but all that really happens is the music changes ever so subtly, and sometimes in more dramatic ways depending on the type of terrain you're standing on and surrounded by. And it also there's also like a day night cycle which I've noticed, which affects the music as well. And again, you just really wander this island, you listen to music. It's, you know, one of those kind of zen experiences. Very aimless, you know, not really goal-oriented at all, just kind of a relaxation game. Mm-hmm. One feature that I think is new to the Vita version or the PS3 version is you can take snapshots, or postcards, rather.
Oh, which, like GTA 5.
I don't know.
Like selfies?
Not selfies. So it's actually pretty cool. So I pushed a button. And it's like, hey, we're taking a picture right now. And I'm like, okay, I took a picture. Hey, it looks pretty. I'll take a picture. So then I went to load up my picture. And it actually, instead of just loading the picture, it just dumped me back in the same world at the exact same point. So it's not just a postcard. It's actually like a save state.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And it's cool because, you know, after you're done playing around and you turn the thing off, your world's gone. So it's a cool way to save like a particular, not just a picture, but a particular moment. And it works well with like the idea of the game where you have this full like immersive audiovisual experience, because you don't want to just look, you want to hear, you want to be there. So that's a cool little addition. But it's a very slight game. I mean, there's not a lot going on as far as I can tell. I'm going to give it another shot and kind of explore it a little more. I think it's too expensive. I think that it would probably be best as a PS Plus freebie, to be honest, or like for $2 or $3.
A mini.
I think. Yeah, I think that you know, $12 or $13 is just too high of an asking price, and I'm usually willing to fork over a lot for an indie game, but there's really not a lot to it. So I would definitely wait for a sale.
Okay.
But it's a cool little game. I'm having a good time with it. I mean, you know, but you definitely have to be willing to put up with some very non-gamey things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Experiences.
Exactly. Yeah, it's experiences. It's not, you know, shooting shit. It's not jumping on things. All you're doing is aimlessly walking around.
It's not battling friend slaves.
No, it's not Battling Friend Slaves. However, speaking of Battling Friend Slaves, I am also playing Pokemon, which features a lot of battling Poke Slaves. And I finally beat the game.
I think I'm gonna stop you right here, Jeff. Let's save the Poke Talk for a few beats here, clean up the news, take a break, and then we'll wrap it up with that stuff.
That sounds great.
I think we will. There's lots to talk about Pokemon, of course, as always.
Okay. Yes.
So
by all means,
let's knock this shit out.
Do you want to say what you're playing?
No, not really. There's nothing to talk about. Hotline Miami on the Vita is better on the PC.
I agree. It controls like hot trash.
Yep. Yes, it does. It's the worst.
Okay.
The best way to play that game is bring it onto the title screen, plug in headphones, listen to the title screen music.
Some good music.
It's great music. Okay. I would put that shit all over my PlayStation 4 and not to it. Brothers, do we want to talk about that or wait?
Did we not talk about that last time? Jesus Christ.
Nope, because Jamie didn't finish it.
We should have gotten him while he
was
here. Brothers is really cool. I'm just going to say some things, and we can touch on them more next week or whenever Jamie's back again.
Yeah.
But there are invisible giants. There are giants, like giants that are so big, they're like the size of like a cave. And you go in this battlefield with all these dead giants, and like you have to like launch like a giant crossbow and shoot another dead giant in the eye, and then he falls over, and you have to stab him in the hand, and it's the coolest game.
Okay, that's it. That's the climactic ending that everybody's been saying is the best thing
ever. No,
the
climactic ending is crazy, and I don't want to really get into the climactic ending too much without Jamie, but should I talk about it or do you want to say it?
May as well just wait. I feel like we can at this point just wait because this probably be game of the year stuff.
For sure, yeah. It's a great game. It definitely does some cool stuff in the ending, which I definitely want to dissect with someone else who's played it.
Yep.
Because I'm not sure I could do the whole thing justice. And Jamie's got it a little more fresh than I do. So
Has he finished it?
He's done. Yeah, he finished it.
Okay. Well then, yeah. So let's wait for him.
As soon as he's back on this podcast, we're gonna pin him down and make him talk about Brothers with me.
Okay. Good. Good.
But just know that there are so many awesome giants in Brothers. I've never seen the theme of giants explored with such
since Skylanders
such variety.
Giants. I have never seen so many giants.
Nice. Game journalism point right there.
That was a half a point. We covered the rest of the stuff here. Skip.
Yeah, we talked
Xbox
about
Xbox One discs.
Major review events.
Mind blowing. Game changer.
Hey, tell me a little bit about Ground Zeroes real quick. I didn't hear the news.
Well, you're not a crazy Metal Gear Solid fan, right?
I love the series. I very much enjoy the games. I'm not really up on the portable entries and what they mean for the series, like Mythos or whatever. Like, I played a little bit of Peace Walker, but I couldn't finish it. So I looked it up on a wiki.
You didn't finish Peace Walker?
The bosses were unbalanced.
You call yourself a true fan? There was bosses in that game? Oh, yeah, right. The helicopter.
And the tank.
And that horseshit last boss. Yeah, so in a recent interview with Hideo Kojima at the LA studio for Kojima Productions, he spoke a little bit about what the hell is Ground Zeroes.
I'd like to know.
Yeah, if you've been following, you know, loosely the track of Metal Gear Solid 5, you may know that it's kind of split into two properties, Ground Zeroes and Phantom Pains. And if that is confusing enough already, then just you're good. Don't listen to anything further. Ground Zeroes is, according to Kojima, kind of like a tutorial intro into the new open world mentality of Metal Gear Solid 5. So Ground Zeroes will act as like a more hand-holdy, linear first step into...
So it's like they've got the training wheels on for that part.
Essentially, it's like the tank mission in 2. The tanker mission.
The tanker, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, where you're like, oh my gosh, everything's familiar and fine. Oh wait, it's all different now because people are in their boxers. Oh,
are they going to make you be riding again? Is that what you're talking
about? Well, I mean, I don't even want to say. We could talk about this for hours.
Is the Phantom Pain Revengeance 2?
If only. Oh my god.
Ultimate troll.
That's... No. I played ball for I played ball in college.
Is that a line?
Did you finish Revengeance?
No, because Jamie has it, and I haven't gotten it back from him yet.
The last boss fight of Metal Gear Solid Rising Revengeance is the greatest boss fight in the history of ever. Dialogue.
I was having a great time with that game, so I'm pretty sure I will like it when I get it back.
The dialogue of the last boss fight is if somebody wrote a mocking post of any Japanese video game design final boss in NeoGAF.
Awesome. I mean, the game seemed very self-aware. That's it kind of Platinum Games' thing.
But I think it was localized by 8-4, so it's like done really well, but also knowingly stupid.
Oh yeah, totally. I think they nailed it from what I saw.
Well, keep going because it gets better.
Okay.
But the game itself is not good. Anyway, Ground Zeroes is a tutorial.
Training wheels
essentially a tutorial because Kojima said like it may be too much for gamers to get launched into an open world that will be Phantom Pains. So we have this little like intro segment. It will also act as like a story primer to kind of explain a little bit of Peace Walker and set up why Snake, or I should say Big Boss, is going to be on the warpath, and the game's theme is about revenge.
Interesting.
Yes, and he says you'll like it, and Snake will get tired after missions. And
you'll hate it.
It'll all make sense after you play Ground Zeroes, which happens in, if you care about the timeline, 1975, that's when that game takes place, and then the 9 years later, Snake or Big Boss wakes up in Phantom Pains, 1984.
Okay, awesome. I do care about the timeline, and I wish that I had been able to finish Peace Walker, but I really hated the bosses so much. That game just didn't really grab me as much as I would have hoped, which kind of sucks.
It's not a great game.
What?
It's not a great game.
No, it's not, unfortunately.
Even though I have a camouflage PSP and a headband, I will say
you're awesome.
It's not
That's
a great
awesome.
Game.
Why don't you have the gunmetal PS3 is what I want to know.
Oh, God. I wish.
I almost bought that, actually, when MGS4 was being released, but then I decided to wait because I think I did some price comparisons and it still wasn't cheap enough yet. Yeah. I finally remember I got my 60 gig PS3 for, I think, $300 on Amazon when they were clearing out inventory.
Wow.
Like 3 years into the generation or 2 years in?
Ugh.
I waited a while.
You're clever. I paid everything for it.
Oh, I lined up for a Wii, so I'm not that clever.
Ah.
Although I loved my Wii. I had a great time with that console. That's a story for another day.
Really? You love your Nintendo consoles? Strange.
Yeah, I know. Weird, right?
So that. What's going on here with Reggie being on Twitter?
Oh, Reggie Fils-Aimé was just going on Twitter and being bizarrely Nintendo-ish, like posting like a "What does the fox say" with Star Fox.
Oh Jesus!
Just other Nintendo horrors and wonders.
That's so good.
He's played like 300 hours of Animal Crossing. The man is a monster. And like his next game down was New Super Mario Brothers, and he's played like 100 hours of that. He's a monster.
Yeah, he is a monster.
He's a Reginator.
I'm curious as to what Durante? What is this?
Okay, so yeah, I'll fill you in on that. So and you know, again, this is just kind of nuggets. I mean, I don't know if we want to develop this or not, but do you remember when Dark Souls came out for PC?
Not really.
Okay, you're not a PC guy. So Dark Souls came out for PC and I was like, "Yay, I'm going to get it on PC." And when it came out, there was this big controversy because the internal rendering resolution was locked at 1280 by 720.
Your magic words don't work on me without Jamie here. It means nothing.
It was locked at sub-HD resolution, basically. And it was like letterboxed, and it looked really shitty. And people were mad because you couldn't change it at all. And it's super, super easy to give you that option. But they didn't give you that option. Mm. And so everyone was like, "Oh, my God, what are we going to do?" And this guy, Durante, fixed it in like half an hour.
Huh.
And the big takeaway was like, wow, Japanese developers are fucking lazy when they port games to PC. And it was taken as like yet another sign of, you know, how lazy Japan is about game development these days.
Sure.
So then, you know, late 2013, what is the game even? Oh, Deadly Premonition, cult classic is coming to PC.
Right.
Jeff considers buying it because the PS3 version is utterly borked. lo and behold, it comes to PC, same shit, you know, locked at 720p. Any file is like protected. You can't change it easily. So lo and behold, again, Durante in an hour and 26 minutes fixes the game.
Damn, Durante.
Yeah. So this guy's a NeoGAF hero, but also it's ridiculous that these games, there's so little effort put into porting them. It's just, I mean, it's taken as symptomatic of all the shit that's wrong with Japan. Who knows if that's actually the case, but it's like, why couldn't they just fix this simple thing? Throw a bone to PC gamers. But yeah. I really didn't have much beyond that. And again, you know, without my fellow PC Master Race member, we can't really dissect that.
Swery doesn't give a fuck about PC.
That is most likely true. I wish he would put D4 on the PS4.
Swery's too busy taking pictures with his big, fat, black frame glasses.
That's probably true. I want D4.
Do you?
Yeah, I want it on the X-Bone.
It is, isn't it?
I want it on the PS4, sorry.
Oh, okay.
The one that I'm
really
going to buy.
Still, really? Isn't it just like a QuickTime?
I don't care.
Thing?
It's going to be weird.
Okay. Well, yeah, undoubtedly. If it's anything like Deadly Premonitions, it's going to be like highly unplayable and fucking nonsense.
Yep. I was having a great time with Premonition. I was having a really hard time with the stupidest thing, which is that the audio would clip from time to time, and it was driving me insane.
Yeah.
And apparently that was just a PS3 issue, and I was sad.
I have it on I have it on Xbox 360, day one.
Nice. Did you play it all the way through?
Nope.
Oh, you didn't play it?
No, I watched Giant Bomb play all through it.
Oh, nice.
Much better that way.
It's an interesting, I mean, it's cool. I don't know. It's bad. It's like, by no objective measure is the gameplay actually fun.
Yeah.
But it's inoffensive enough, especially in the newer one, because you can lower the difficulty.
Yeah. It's Army of Darkness of video games.
Yeah, exactly. So I want that. I want more of that.
Sure.
I don't know.
It was also great because it was like $29.99 new. And it was like, I will support games like this.
Yeah, definitely. That's a rapidly shrinking space.
Speaking of shrinking spaces, there is no place for Command and Conquer.
Whoa. Don't segue there. Tell me about Command and Conquer.
The most mysterious news of the 2011 Spike VGAs, Command and Conquer by BioWare, has been canceled because it's not the game that testers wanted.
But it's the game we deserve.
Yes. In its closed alpha or whatever, the majority of the feedback was, this game sucks. So developers, EA Victory Studio or whatever the hell they decided their changed their name to this week, said, we're shutting this down. It's not the game you guys wanted. We've taken this away. It's sad. We tried our best, but goodbye.
So was that the end of the franchise?
Yeah, I doubt it. I mean, they mentioned Command and Conquer deserves better. Like, they know it's a good name. It has clout among gamers, even though the last like three games in the franchise have been rapidly approaching tire fire levels of bad. They say they want to do it justice. Know this game also as Command and Conquer Generals 2 by BioWare. It's a Frostbite engine powered game, which is kind of weird. Again, also to weirdness.
Yeah. Well, I actually like that EA is putting everything on Frostbite. I think it's wise. I think that shifting to one engine for all your development is a way to keep costs down.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I'm actually happy about that.
It's just a prudent decision. Weird. Where you're like, oh, Command and Conquer on Frostbite by BioWare.
Yeah.
But yeah, whatever.
Yeah,
obviously,
they're not known for their incredibly mechanically interesting games.
And that was also at the time when, you know, BioWare was hot shit, like king of the hill. They can do no wrong. Let's make 8 other studios and give them the BioWare name, and then KOTOR.
Yeah, be great if it was all just the cheesy live action Night Trap.
If it was just fucking Ric Flair yelling at me about my troops, I'd be into that.
And you had like dialogue choices a la BioWare. I think it'd be the right studio for that. But if you're trying to make like a actual RTS game, that doesn't seem to be BioWare's area of strength.
No, by no means, no.
Yeah.
What else do we have here? Oh, Stick of... Well, I guess the last thing I have written on here is the Stick of Truth. The South Park game was delayed today to 2014. March.
It's because of that power outage that they had like 2 weeks ago at South Park Studios.
Really?
Did you hear about this?
No.
So they like missed their... They missed air date for the first time ever because there was a power outage. You know how like they run like really close? Like they deliver their episodes day of? Mm-hmm. So there must have been a power outage that caused Stick of Truth to be delayed.
Probably. Makes sense. Trey Parker and Matt Stone couldn't do the final touches on the voice work because they were out.
Yeah. I like your comments afterwards. Games are over after new consoles. Said bus is on fire.
Well, the reason why I said that is the Stick of Truth was kind of like the end of the year. Like that was like... going to be my December game, last game of the year, like sink into that and play that through the holidays. But now what is there?
Play with your next gen hardware.
No, I'm bored with it already. I'm done. What I need new. I need newer. Give me something new. I've had this for a week. I'm bored. I want something new.
What are you getting for PS4, by the way?
Excellent. I was going to ask you the same question.
Well, you already know what I'm getting.
Yeah, I know. I don't know, actually.
Go ahead. What are you getting?
I don't know. Before it was going to be Watch Dogs, but now I've been redesigning my Gamefly queue to most effectively get games, but I don't know what to do.
I don't know what to do because I don't like the Assassin's Creed series.
Okay.
So, I mean, I could get 4 just to have a game. I don't really like first-person shooters. I mean, again, I could get it to have a game, but I'm going to play through the campaign and then I'm going to go on like a multiplayer game and be like, fuck, this takes way too much time and it's dumb. Mm-hmm. So that's probably a waste of money. Mm-hmm. And then is there anything else?
There's Knack.
Oh, yeah, Knack.
Yours and my favorite game.
If Knack is good, I'll get it. Because it's cute.
But there's also Call of Duty Ghosts.
It's got some dogs in it.
It's got the hottest dogs. Battlefield 4?
Nope. Nope.
All right. Well, okay.
Maybe I'll get Call of Duty Dogs because it's got double the dogs.
Call of Duty Ghost Dads?
Double dogs.
Double dog dare you to buy it.
If Bill Cosby was in Call of Duty Ghost, I would definitely buy it.
I'm in the same boat as you are. I really don't know what to do. I think if anything, if I'm going to buy one game, it'll be Killzone, just because it is the least offensive of all of like.
it's such a funny situation because these are all like marquee like games that people buy that sell that move product, but they're also just like really bland and kind of bad games,
right?
So it's this weird situation where you could say this is one of the stronger launches out there in terms of like raw numbers because all these big franchises are getting iterations, but like it doesn't appeal to people like us, I feel like.
Yeah.
So it's a pickle.
It will be Killzone, but most definitely if I do decide to buy a game, mm-hmm. Killzone for sure, just because I've played all the games before despite not really liking them.
I mean, yeah, that's fair.
But if there is one online first-person shooter game that I do not hate playing, it's Killzone for some reason.
You guys are going to have to like sell me on that. And maybe we can all just play together. I'd have more fun with that than trying to go into a random lobby.
The thing that's the best about Killzone, the reason why I like it so much is because now some people would say... that the handling of the guns, like the way you move your gun around the screen, is bad because it's sluggish and awkward and has a weird lag and travel time to it, and it just generally feels uncomfortable. And
I
that's
like that.
Why I like it.
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Because it kind of makes this like even playing field where it kind of eliminates like that PC mentality of like I mouse over here and now I'm over here. Like,
yep,
there is some handicap factor for everyone. And that's really what I like about that game.
Yeah, I mean, that already sounds more appealing to me than the Twitch action of Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Which is really, I mean, it really all you're playing is like House of the Dead, except with more players. Yeah. It doesn't seem that fun to me.
And Killzone does enough of injecting like a little bit of Team Fortress formula into it where you can like, I'll be a support guy where I may not be the best at shooting people, but I'll just heal my friends, or I'll turn invisible and kill one person and that'll be enough for me. And that's kind of what I do.
Okay. Sweet. Yeah. I will wait to hear what you guys have to say about it. I think if I do bite on any like retail products, I might consider biting on AC4. Just because I liked the multiplayer in Brotherhood, and I understand it's the same multiplayer. Mm. And it'll be a game. But I feel like I'm happy that PS Plus is going to be active from the get-go.
Yeah.
And that I'm getting Resogun, I'm getting Contrast, because those look like games I like.
Yep. I love Super Stardust HD, so
oh yeah,
I'm ready for some Resogun.
For sure, yeah. It looks pretty cool. I'm actually pretty excited for it.
I've never been good at Asteroids or Space Invaders or sorry, what's the new one supposed to be like? Moon Patrol? No, I forget.
Geometry War?
No. Super Stardust HD is to Asteroids as Resogun is to X.
Oh, I don't know. Gradius?
Defender.
Oh, Defender. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm decent at those kinds of games. I'm not top of the world, but I'm pretty good. So I'll have fun with that for sure.
Yep. And it's free. Yay.
Yeah, that's the best part. I mean, way to start the generation off, you know, buy your console. Don't have to feel bad about spending another $60. Yeah. You just get two free games.
Yeah, fuck Drive Club.
We don't need you anyway, Drive Club.
Yeah. Speaking of free games for this generation, too, so PlayStation Plus for November was announced, and I'm most excited about Soul Sacrifice for the Vita.
Don't you mean Soul Sacrifice?
Yes, Mark Hamill. What is that?
I don't know. That's how they do the title screen.
Oh, that's sexy. I want that.
It's really over the top and hammy. That's great. Yeah, that's super cool that it's free. Ibn Ab is free. That was that game that I was like, hey, I'm gonna maybe buy this just to play it. Yep. And now it's free.
The other one, Dragon's Dogma, Dark Arisen.
Free. Yeah, I'm pissed. I paid money for that game. Like,
that's your own 3 months fault.
Ago.
That's your own damn even, fault.
I haven't even played it that much. It's free now.
Yep. And hey, yet another reason why you should be playing Binary Domain.
Yeah, I saw that. I'm really excited about the free games this month. I freaking love that service.
Mm-hmm. Binary Domain, good price at free.
Doesn't it benefit from having like a headset or like a Kinect like input?
No.
Okay. I heard that the Kinect like makes it even more goofy fun.
No.
No, it's horse poop. Okay.
I mean, yeah, there in that game design, like you're supposed to be able to talk to your teammates and say like, "Yeah, Big Bo, fuck that lady's butt looks tight." But in actuality, all you can say is like, "Go to cover," and then he's like, "Nah, man. You need to calm down." So there's no reason to have a headset. It's a bunch of crap, and the squad controls don't work. And it's really not a good game overall.
Okay. I mean, is it a fun game?
Not particularly, no. Okay.
Is it worth playing?
What's that?
Is it worth playing? I'll download it. It's free.
Okay, so if you are going to play a fast-paced, dumbass, future sci-fi robot fighting game, the choice is Vanquish, not this game. Binary Domain.
I have Vanquish, yeah.
Everything, it's super Japanese. Like, the story is predictable as fucking dumb as hell. Like, there's some things in the game which make it interesting where it's like, if your squad mates, you can lose squad mates and they die and then they don't show up at the end of the game, just like every bad anime.
Fire Emblem.
Yeah. So it's a bunch of crap. Speaking of people not showing up in the end of the game, let's break here and be back to talk about the grand finale of Pokemon X and Y.
Perfect. I am going to go turn off some lights.
Hot.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty sexy.
Mood lighting.
See you soon.
Bye.
Bye. Pokemon.
Pokemon.
So I beat Pokemon.
Me too.
You beat Pokemon like a month ago.
Yeah, I beat it at 4 o'clock in the morning.
You've been post-Pokemon for days.
I've been living a post-Pokemon life. It's good life to live.
I beat Pokemon, but I'm not free yet. I'm in deeper than ever. I made a spreadsheet.
You monster. You are the monster next door.
We're going to talk about the spreadsheets after we talk about Pokemon details of the plot.
So you beat all the gyms, you killed the Elite Four, you murdered the champion, you were crowned greatest leader
of all time.
The right star or whatever.
Supreme leader.
Grand final leader.
Let's go through this chronology, though. So, okay, so I beat seven of the gyms, and then I got a call. Mm-hmm. And they were like, hey, something fishy's going on. Something fishy's going on with Lysander, which is a great name.
Yep.
And then Lysander was like a crazy bastard. And he had the crazy little machine that did the things, little arm tentacle machine.
Yep.
And he wanted to turn on the ultimate weapon and, like, wipe out all of mankind.
Yep. He had options, I think. If you want to, he had like anime options.
The button?
Push no,
the
button. No. Yeah, he had like Gundam options, like the things that fly around your ship and shoot things coming at your ship by the power of your mind.
There was so much shit in that game that was just like thrown at you and not explained at all.
Yeah,
like that.
Yep.
For example. Also, the fact that he has like a mega ring. Everyone apparently just has mega rings.
Everyone.
It was so weird. It was just out of nowhere. Like this unbelievably dark plan to just annihilate all of mankind.
Yeah.
And then they like put this existential dilemma in front of you. They're like, push a button.
Oh, the false choice, you mean?
Yes. And then you push a button. And they're like, you chose right. I'm still going to activate the machine.
Yeah. If you choose wrong, it's really funny, too.
What happens if you choose wrong?
They say, ha 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 ha, you chose the option to wipe out the world. Even if you would have chosen good, we rigged it so it was still chosen wrong.
Wow. It's so weird. Why was, when they were like writing this story for the game, I want to know what compelled them to put the button scene in.
Anime. Mass Effect.
I don't understand. There are so many moments in that game. Like the cafes, like what were they thinking?
I still don't know what fucking cafes are.
the Sushi Rollers Club.
Mm-hmm.
Can I tell you something? I still can't get into the Sushi Rollers Club.
Yeah, no, me either.
I went in there. I'm the fucking champion of Kalos. I'm like the main man in all of town. And they're like, get out of here. I don't want to see your face. I don't understand why.
It's a bizarre world, man.
They tell me to become more famous. I don't know how to get more famous.
PR videos. Make that.
I did, however, get into the boutique.
Yeah.
And, oh, you got into the boutique, too. And yep. I got new hairstyles. I have pigtails now.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm a sexy lady. But, yeah, it's... It has been a weird finale. What did you think of the Elite Four, by the way?
Loved them. I loved the Elite Four in this game. It was challenging. I had a great time. Like, it was the best part of a Pokemon game I've played in a long time.
For sure, yeah.
Because it was just like, I went into it. My Pokemon were, I guess, a combination of underleveled and maybe just five levels above. So I had some type differentiation enough to kind of compete in that scene, but I was just kind of like, fuck it. We'll see where this goes and see what happens. And
that's always the best.
Yeah, it was. And it was like a struggle. Like I had to burn a ton of items in fights and sacrifice Pokemons and work through it. And then by the end of it, it was like, this lady is going to freaking fight me in her stupid white room. And, I did. And I made it out. And it felt exciting, like most Pokemon games are not, or most parts of Pokemon games are not.
It was definitely a nail biter. They definitely had a lot of tricks up their sleeve. Like, how cool was that Aegislash?
Mm-hmm.
They kept spamming King's Shield to lower your attack.
Yeah.
That was a really cool fight. That was like, I was like, all my guys, I was having a hard time figuring out how to beat it because I didn't bring any ground. Because I just always forget to use ground guys. So I had one fire guy, but it was dicey.
Yeah.
It was super cool.
It was also really cool because it was like a great showcase of all the new Pokemon. Like every one of the trainers there had the new Pokemon as primarily all of their characters. So very fun to see all those dudes trotted out and shown off.
Yeah, and I thought that I kind of touched on this earlier, but the game gave you more freedom than ever, like with the experience share and stuff, to just like if you saw a guy that you thought was cool, like I saw the little bat, I think I told you about it, the Noi bat, and I was like, I want to train one of those guys. So like it's like the last route of the game, and I just caught one, and I was like, I'm going to level this thing. And it took me like an hour maybe, if even, like just like an hour of like doing shit that I would have done anyway. Got this guy up to the level that I needed for the Elite Four. So I got to take this guy that I hadn't like known for very long into the Elite Four. And I used him in the last battle. And like that is something that I wouldn't have done in a previous game. I would have just brought like, you know, my Charizard that I got at level one.
Right.
And you know, my Alakazam that I caught on like Route 3.
Right. But super overpowered.
Like, yeah, and like I went to like the lady that has like all the memories of all the gyms and stuff. You remember that person from early on in the game?
Uh-uh.
Okay, there's someone who can remember all your gym fights.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I looked at my teams, and my teams were different for every single fight.
Cool.
And that was, like, really awesome for me. Like, that was, I don't know, it made the world feel more vibrant. It made my experience feel more varied. It kept me very interested the whole time to just have new dudes all the time.
But, you know, what didn't keep me interested was, at the end of all of that, you have one final fight. To wrap up the entire saga of Pokemon XY.
I don't understand. It's so weird.
Yep.
Did the guy even have a Mega Evolution?
Nope.
He didn't, right? No.
Nope.
Yeah, so okay, so let's set the stage. So you fight the champion. She's got all these really strong guys. Then she sends out, like, Gardevoir, turns into a BBW.
Yep.
It's really strong.
Yet although another person with a Mega Ring.
Yeah, I had a Drapion, and it literally, I think I broke the fight because I spammed poison attacks, and literally I would get it down to like a sliver of health. She'd use a full restore. Down to a sliver of health, full restore.
Yep.
Down to a sliver of health, full restore. Then I killed it.
Yep, three times for every trainer. So annoying.
Yep. It was so funny though because literally she was doing nothing to me except just using a full restore.
Mm-hmm.
So that part of it wasn't as menacing as it could have been, and I think I had... Like, poison's one of the only things that can kill it, so I happen to have the right move. But did you have trouble with the Gardevoir?
Oh, yeah. I had trouble with all of the fights just because I suck at Pokemon. And then it's like the Gardevoir had everything but a psychic attack. So every Pokemon that I threw out at it that had attack that could fight a psychic, they also had like a counter for its secondary type. So I was like, oh, fuck. Okay, well, there goes all of my good Pokemon, so...
Yeah, and Psychic Fairy is a good typing.
Yeah, I just kind of had to whittle away at it, and I think I used Aegislash to kind of finally take it down.
Aegislash is so cool.
Yeah.
I love the stance change. The animation for that is amazing.
Yes, it is. And I do love that you pointed out to me that, like, the stats, the color on nature stats are backwards.
Reversed.
Yeah.
Yep.
So,
red means good.
Yeah, red means good. So I have an Aegislash, which is plus to defense, minus to speed. And that's thought at first it was minus to defense, plus to speed. And I was like, oh, that's great. Speed is always great in Pokemon games, except when you're using Aegislash because King's Shield has priority.
Exactly.
So the slower your character is, the better it is.
Yeah, and you want your attack to come out after they go.
Exactly.
So then you can stay in defense.
Yes.
I think that's one of the coolest new Pokemon.
Such a cool Pokemon.
It's such a great idea. And just the animation totally completely seals it for me. The way he leaps out from behind the shield, it's so cute. I love it.
Yep.
So yeah, so you fight the champion, and it's an awesome battle, very epic. And then you beat the game, and there's like this big parade, and then the goofy, stupid giant that has absolutely no purpose being in this game walks up to you, and it's like, battle me. And you're like, whoa, what's going to happen? Like, what's going on? Like, I thought I beat the game. Is this going to be like in the last one where you had to fight like a super awesome bad guy? And then he just has three Pokemon. And
three
like,
derpy-ass Pokemon.
Yeah, it's like he has like a...
Underleveled.
Like a Slugma or something.
Yeah, like it's all like all fire type. And you're like, really? Yeah. What?
Yeah, it's just these random dudes. And it's like a pushover battle. It's like when you're playing FF10 and you fight friggin' Jekt and you're like, oh my god. This is like the coolest battle ever, and it's like this butt rock playing. When you're like 10, you're like, oh my god, this is awesome.
I want to get this on my MP3 player.
Yeah, for sure. I had it on my shitty MP3 player that can only fit like 12 songs.
Yep.
Anyway, so you fight Jekt, and you're like, oh, that was the coolest fight ever. And then you're like, wait, I have to fight all my Aeons, and I can't die. And then I have to fight this little spider thing, and I just have to wait for 5 turns before I can kill it. It was like one of those moments.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they put it in there.
Yeah. I was really happy, and this is what I was alluding to at the break, that Lysander did not come back. Mm-hmm. That dude is fucking dead.
I know. He fell into like a... Well, it was funny because they're like... He was like, I'm going to get eternal life. And then he fell into a chasm and was never heard from
again.
And
he's like, no, he's like, let me show you. He's like, in my dying throes, let me show you the true power. Or a fraction of the power of the Pokemon Life Beam Energy Cannon Satellite. And then he just kills himself with it. And you're like, great, done, excellent.
Well, he said something about unlimited life, like the curse of unlimited life. And then they're like, let's get out of here.
I thought that the AZ dude had curse of unlimited life.
Yeah, but Lysander touched on it. I don't really know. Again, I don't think we could really discern much about the plot. Right. It was a goddamn
what is
mess.
More inscrutable, Xenogears or Pokemon XY?
Pokemon XY.
Xenogears, definitely.
If you give me like a week, I could explain Xenogears to you.
If you, yeah, your room would be like one of those.
It would be like the walls of a conspiracy theorist.
Exactly.
Yep. But I could explain it.
Strings from floor to ceiling.
The characters' motivations in Xenogears may not always make sense, but there is a plot that has things that happen and then other things happen. Mm-hmm. I'm not so sure I would say even that is in place in Pokemon.
No. Right.
This is definitely the most... I don't know if it's down to like shit translation or if it is... Because it was a bad translation. Or if it's just like... That's just how it is in Japan, too.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, that is... I think that's just how it is. Like, After engaging in enough anime for 10 years, it hasn't changed at this point. I think that it's just part of the design.
I guess so. I feel like the stories were always shitty back in the day, but at least before, because starting with Last Generation, they stopped using Treehouse for their translations. Mm. And they switched over to an in-house team. And right when they did that, the stories became utterly inscrutable.
Really?
So I think it has something to do with a shit translation.
Okay.
Not that the story has ever mattered in Pokemon, but I'd like to believe that they're not just all fucking bad.
Well, as you've said before, too, once the game is over, it definitely opens up. Like, the training wheels are off. It pulls out all these, like, it opens up its kimono and is like, hey, come on in and check out these way cooler things.
Kind of. I mean, it definitely is like it pivots to like, hey, if you're competitive, this is your stuff now.
Yep.
It's like, hey, okay, if you're like a casual, like you can catch Mewtwo and you can catch Zygarde or whatever, which I haven't caught either of them yet. Like you can go and catch the dudes and you can look for Megastones to make you guys look cool.
Which is the most impossible process ever created in a video game.
1 hour.
In between 8 and 9 p.m.
They give you no further guidance, right?
Yep.
It just makes a sound when you're nearby or something?
There's a sparkly sparkle.
Okay.
I don't even know if there's a sound, like it's a sparkly thing.
I know there's one in the Reflection Cave if you haven't found that one yet.
Yeah.
I think it's the Mega Alakazam one.
I got that one.
Which is the coolest.
Yes, it is. It is the coolest. I got the one that's in the trainer area, the rock trainer.
Mm-hmm.
I only had like 15 minutes, so I just like ran and grabbed those two and I was like, okay, I'm good. That's really all I give a shit about.
I want to get Mega Mawile. That is so cool.
Mm.
Mega Mawile is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently he's like super powerful too from the competitive angle.
No doubt.
But anyway, so it definitely opens up I don't think it has a lot to offer for like a regular player. I found something in Lumios, like the Looker Bureau or something. Have you done that yet?
No, but I've heard quite a bit about it.
Yeah. So I fought my rival again. He's like, hey, I lost you for like the millionth time.
Mm-hmm.
Go get your Mega Ring. And then I got a call from Looker, and he was like, come talk to me. And then he's like, if you're ready to be a rookie detective, talk to me a second time.
Yep.
And I was like, I'm not ready yet.
I had that same thing with the Mega Ring, where there is like, hey, come see Professor Sycamore. And then he's like, hey, I'm Professor Sycamore. Go check this shit out. Mega Rings and Mega Evolutions. And then you fight your rival again, and they suck, and they give you some crap, and they're like, you should go to this place. And then you go talk to him again. He's like, you got to wait till 8 p.m.
Yeah, I don't understand. I don't understand so many things about that game. Like how you talk to Professor Sycamore, he doesn't upgrade your Mega Ring then. Mm-hmm. Then you fight your rival, and he's like, oh, hey, go talk to Professor Sycamore.
Yep.
And you're like, wait, I just talked to you. Couldn't you just do two things at once?
No.
No. So yeah, so that's happening. There's the battle Maison, which I fooled around with.
Oh my god!
With that.
Do you think that they named him Professor Sycamore like Amore?
I think it's just Professor Tree.
No, like love.
I get
in French.
It. Maybe
he's a tree lover.
He is banging your mom.
He's a sick lover.
There is no question that he's banging your mom.
I hate that game so much when I... it's like when I learned that a Fennec Fox is a kind of a fox that's super adorable.
Oh my god, I never knew.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Can I tell you something else?
Yeah, please.
Ekans is snake backwards.
Dude, get the fuck out of here. Are there any other kind of snake Pokemon with backwards names?
Cobra... Arbok. Shit,
no.
I almost mixed it up.
Damn it,
so,
you spoiled
so
it
clever.
For me.
Can I ask you a question? Or no, can I tell you a thing that I found out?
I suppose.
You can only get one Charizardite X.
Yep.
I bought one, and then they don't have any more for sale.
Wait, where'd you buy it?
There's if you go to the Stone Emporium in Lumios, you can purchase the stones for the starters you did not choose.
Really?
Yes. So now I need to find someone who's willing to start a new game in Y and trade me a Charizardite Y and then delete their save and start over.
Wait, you're saying that you can't get more than one Charizardite X, right?
Correct.
Right,
so,
yeah.
So I had thought that you could buy as many as you wanted for trading purposes, but no, you can only buy one. So I bought them all. I have all three, but I only have one Charizardite X. And if I want a Y, I guess I have to like give up my soul or something.
Wait, did you were you able to buy like a Venusaurite?
I was. Yeah, I have a Venusaurite and
what
a Blastoise.
This stuff hasn't unlocked for me.
Go to Lumios. Go to the stone store.
I did.
Go talk to the guy on the left.
Yep, I did.
And I'll be like, hey, I have stones for you.
I did.
And I'll be like, you want to give me $1 million for them? And you're like, no. And then if you're more popular, he's like, you want to give me $150,000? And I'm like, okay.
Hmm.
You can pay even less, apparently, if you're even...
Really?
If you're Sushi Roller level of popular, you
Interesting.
Can pay even less.
Because I paid three large for a Blastonite. And then I talked to him again. He's like, I sure do love your money. And that was it.
So you didn't get the Venusaur, right?
Nope. He didn't even offer it to me.
Weird. If you go back, he probably will.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, so that happened.
There's also a patch for saving in Lumios.
The Lumios
glitch. Which you need to log into the eShop to download, and it'll immediately prompt you. And I feel so much better now.
Which just goes to show that when money is on the line, Nintendo will get this shit together. Mm-hmm. when they can't get away with it.
Yeah.
Oh, who's this guy? I just got a new person in my Friend Safari, which is something that we should also touch on.
Yeah, talk about Friend Safari and how freaking awesome that is for an online component of a game.
Yeah, so Friend Safari is super cool. It is essentially what happens is once you've beaten the game, you unlock this area, which is kind of like the Safari Zone from previous Pokemon games, except all the dumb shit like throwing rocks at the Pokemon and only having 30 balls and 500 steps is all gone.
Rocks, bait.
Yep. No more baiting. Your baiting days are over.
Oh, they now, are?
Now what it does is it looks at your entire friend list on your 3DS, and from it, it populates a bunch of types. And each friend gets a type, and if you click on that person, it'll choose two Pokemon of that type. And you can go into their little safari, and you can catch. You can use like whatever Pokemon you want to catch those two Pokemon. But then, if you've ever seen them online before, you can, and they've also beaten the Elite Four. Then that number bumps up to three, and usually the third one is like a little rarer. So each person in your friends list will give you three Pokemon. And like the new game that I've been playing, the new like metagame or whatever that I've been trying to do here, is getting every single Pokemon from the friend safari represented in my friends list, which is more challenging than it sounds because you only have 100 friends on your 3DS, and there are a lot of Pokemon in the friend safari. Mm-hmm. So what this means for me is that I literally made a spreadsheet listing all of my friends, because I got full of friends just from going on the dark corners of game facts.
So you've been spending a lot of time suspending your game and adding friend codes.
Yes, the worst fucking process in the history of time, which involves from an online connection in game, you hit the home button, go into your friends list, add your friend, go back into the game, get the shitty error code that says, oh, your internet connection's been lost because yep. You looked at your system wrong. Then you have to reconnect to the internet, which takes like a solid 20 seconds. And then you have to like futz around to get that person to show up, get their avatar to show up on your friends list.
Yep.
So then you'll have access to their third Pokemon. So it has been tedious, but it is oddly addicting.
So my question, my biggest concern with Friend Safari is, do the friend codes randomly create a type within your game, or is it some greater code at large? So, okay, let me make that a little more clear.
I totally understand what you're saying.
So, for example, if you were to pull me into your game on your friend list and go to my safari, and I were to be yep. fairy type, and then Jamie were to pull me into his game and look at my safari, would I be fairy type there as well?
Yes, and that's actually the beauty of it. So what I've done, yeah, it's really clever. What I've done actually is I have modified my game FAQ signature to list the Pokemon in my friend safari. Mm-hmm. So I have my friend code and the Pokemon in my friend safari. I say, if you add me, send me a private message. So what I do is I advertise what I have, and I'm like, hey, this is what I need. So now I'm to the point where I have to be selective because I've gotten so many now.
So this has become like the Craigslist looking for section.
Oh, totally. I use Pokemon. LF. I have used LF in a post before.
You're a monster.
And I made not one, but two spreadsheets. So the first spreadsheet was all the dudes I have and all the Pokemon they have. Because the way it works, each slot can only have certain Pokemon in it. And then I have a separate spreadsheet of all the Pokemon I need, all their types, and all their positions in different slots. So I know exactly how many more people I need in order to fill it up.
Mm. Wow.
I'm a horrible human being.
And that is also what has broken me on Pokemon, where now I've seen that and I've done that and I have fun with it. And I'm like, great. I hypothetically could do what you're doing and get every Pokemon I could want and have them be super cool, super powerful, potentially beautiful, like the German Nazi child Pokemon that is the Uber Pokemon ready to conquer the world. And I saw that. I took a step over the edge. I looked into the chasm, and it looked back at me, and I was like, nope, I'm done.
Yeah, and that's fair. I mean, what I'm doing right now is definitely not for everyone, and I don't even know if it's for me. What I do know is that I am having – I'm having a good time just like – just in like kind of a mathy way, like almost like a little logic puzzle, mm-hmm. like arranging my friends list so that every single Pokemon is represented. And it's so far it's fun. If it stops being fun, I'll stop doing it. But it's definitely not for everyone, and this is not what the core game is about. And I would say that compared to other Pokemon games, once you beat this one, there isn't a ton going on in the post game. Like when you beat the previous one, there was like a whole other half of the region you could explore. It was pretty empty, but there was like more places to go. Mm-hmm. So that was cool. And this one, not so much.
Yeah.
Most of the post-game stuff is geared more towards competitive types,
yep.
which is kind of disappointing. But there's a lot of talk and potential of like weird DLC shit. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah.
Too.
I would love more DLC shit in Pokemon. Give me a new fucking region.
Yeah, definitely. And this, it's such a solid foundation. I mean, I'm just excited to see. Like, I had a really great time with the game, and I'm still having a good time with it. I know you had a good time, and maybe you're moved on, but I'd be happy to return to it for more cool shenanigans and more exploration and yeah. fun battles.
And I think this is kind of hard to put. I've been thinking about this, and I think that this Pokemon experience that I've had has been the best. Only, well, and primarily because I've been playing with, like, you know, friends online. And in previous Pokemon games, you know, it's scripted. You get to that point, you get to that city, and it's like, oh, here comes your rival. Like, you got to fight him before you can go to the Pokemon Center. And it's kind mm-hmm. of, like, jarring. You're fucked. Like, you're like, oh, God, I got to really scrape through this fight and get there. Or, like, he's got these Pokemon that I wasn't aware of. It's a type battle, like, I'm boned. Or it's the opposite where you're like, oh, I know this is coming. I got to fight him. I'm gonna steamroll him. But, or similarly, what I totally find, like, metagame kind of, like, fascinating about this Pokemon is I'm having those experiences, but with you and Andy and, like, real people. Like,
yeah.
I get to this new part of the game, and I'm like, hey, let's battle, trainer. And I have a fight against a real person, like a real rival. And mm-hmm. that is something that has never existed to me in Pokemon games before. So if you thought that walking into that first town and Gary Oak is like, hey, dude, you think you're all that? I'm going to fight you. Like, now that same experience is happening, but it's more dynamic. It's more fun because I can talk to my friends. It's real. But I'm still having those moments of, like, trainer battles that are unpredictable and exciting and, like, have a certain edge of rivalry to them.
I think this is something that I tried to touch on the other day, but it seems like a lot of Nintendo franchises, like a lot of classic kind of really rich, you know, deep history Nintendo franchises are really benefiting from social media.
No way!
Like Animal Crossing, for sure.
Yep.
You know, Pokemon, I can't think of any others at the moment, but these games, like having a community and sharing experiences with everyone and this kind of thrill of discovery and these shared moments, for whatever reason, seem to have this like almost disparate effect on Nintendo games, like where it's like the level of entertainment is just goes way up because of it mm-hmm. for some reason. I don't know why, but it doesn't seem to happen with other games as much. But with Nintendo games, it's like somehow or another, like Twitter and like sharing experiences with friends is like so much fun. And I don't know exactly why, but I definitely agree with your sentiment.
Yep. Yeah.
So yeah, it's definitely enhanced the game. And also just even this element of like communicating with people, you know, on shitty message boards and stuff, but like having this friends list and having, you definitely feel more like you're part of a community in this game.
I also just love going poker shopping. Like, you jump on the yes. GTS, and I'm like, I'm going to look up what is somebody going to be selling a Mon Kiki? That's a Pokemon, right?
No. Hey, okay. they discovered Tropius. Three hidden. Yes, Tropius.
I'm going to see what I can sell for a Tropius.
Tropius is baller. I love Tropius. It has bananas on it.
Banana neck.
I was going to say they discovered three event Pokemon, actually.
Great.
But they haven't been officially released, but they found them.
Cool.
This is a water fire.
What?
Psychic ghost and rock fairy.
Rock fairy.
Which has already been done with the shitty Carbink. Yeah. Remember Carbink?
Carbuncle.
Yep.
The water fire?
Everyone. Yeah, water fire.
Game changer.
Called Volcanion.
That's dumb.
Kind of a shitty name. Or Volcanion or something. I don't know.
I'm out.
Yeah. You're out.
I quit.
Non-pre-order canceled.
I'm done. Yeah.
Pokemon is over.
Yep. Pokemon is over for me.
I have to remove one of my Pokemon from my missing Pokemon spreadsheet. When I remove it, sometimes I have to replace it with an X. I can't just delete it.
You would replace it with an X, not a Y.
I want you, Veltal. It's so cool. That Oblivion Wing move you used on me was awesome.
It's really good.
Super badass. All those draining moves.
Yeah.
But the problem is, I have to pay like a horrible price. I have to pay like a blood price if I want to get one.
What do you want to give up for the Yveltal?
Exactly. I don't know what they'll take.
A finger?
Probably.
How many Mews does it take?
All of the Mews. So you were going to ask a question?
No, I was just going to conclude by saying, I know you had said in the past, and it did make sense with like the core Pokemon experience is kind of like your tutorial. Like it's your proving ground if you want to play competitively. Like it's very simple. You can get through it no matter what you do. It's a fun kind of like just stroll in the park, have a good time. But after I finished it, the bug to keep playing and keep battling and like designing my deck, essentially Pokedeck, like dissipated immediately. And that's because like the structured journey is no longer there. And like having those random battles against my friends and not against the NPCs became the only thing that was left. So that's why I am done with Pokemon.
And that's fair. I mean, not everyone's going to be interested in the competitive element, but fortunately, I mean, the campaign is pretty robust. I would like for them to do more things with the campaign, though. I'd like for there to be, rather than just 8 gyms every damn time. I want more interesting things because I think they give the campaigns, like, they're not afterthoughts, but they don't really give them enough credit for how important they are to players, I think.
Right.
I don't know. I think they could do more with them, I feel like.
I agree. The next huge, upending of the Pokemon tea table is redo that campaign.
Definitely.
Fuck Victory Road.
Hopefully next generation. Maybe they'll do some crazy ass DLC shit.
That's
who
right.
Knows?
Awesome. Pokemon 40S is going to be 16 goddamn gyms.
Only playable on two 2DS systems taped together.
Only playable in the membrane layer of the eighth string theory dimension.
That's really funny. Wait, can I not edit this anymore? Oh my gosh. Griffin, I'm trying to edit my game FAQs post. I can't
oh
do
no.
it. I can't do it.
Oh, shame.
What am I going to do?
Get out of there. Get out of there before it consumes you.
I'm so close.
No.
There's only like 30 more.
I saw Neil deGrasse Tyson talk in town here.
Oh, really?
Pretty cool. Yeah.
What did he talk about?
He talked about
Pokemon?
Science and shit. Yeah, essentially Pokemon.
Okay.
He said he told this little kid trainer, stop using all the fucking Weedles. Nobody cares.
Did he tell him that youngster Joey's Rattata was not in the top percentage of Rattatas?
Yeah, verbatim.
Do you remember when they were dissing Rattata in Team Flare?
Yeah.
They're like, I'm going to beat you up like a bunch of Rattata. I was like, that's a low blow.
Oh, that's what I was going to say.
It was pretty funny.
There was yet another anachronistic Pokemon thing that happened in Pokemon that I noticed.
Yeah.
When you went to a certain house and talked to a certain person, they said, I'm going to be trying a new recipe tonight. It's Cinnabar hamburgers.
Yeah, from Johto.
Yeah.
I think. Oh, no, from not Johto, Kanto, the first game.
Yep. Cinnabar hamburgers. What is that?
It's probably grilled magmars or something.
Dude, they said hamburger. Hamburger is like a this realm word. It was
that's
like
our word.
Have you seen the I took a picture of it of in Pokemon Yellow when you can find you go to the museum and the USS Columbia, Spaceship Columbia, is on display and it says it's the space shuttle Columbia.
That's so funny.
And it's like it flew to the moon, or maybe, I don't know, I forget.
Maybe in the Pokeverse that's canon, but only that.
Only the only a thin thread connecting both worlds.
It's like an alternate BioShock Infinite universe.
Yes. You're saying there's always a man, there's always a lighthouse, and there's always a spaceship
Columbia.
There's
always eight gyms. There's always an enemy team. There's always an Elite Four.
There's always a Gary. There's always a rival.
Did you notice the Gary reference?
No.
They're like, I ran into some guy from Kanto. He was like the champion there. All he could say was like, smell you later.
Oh my God. Are you serious?
I am not even shitting you.
If they followed through on that, that would be the best DLC secret content ever, where it's just, it's like, it'd be the Diablo Cow level where you just fight Garys.
There were so many like little references to past games in this one. I feel like there's got to be. I feel like the curtain has not been drawn all the way back yet.
Or this is just like the crazy internet bullshit of like, there has to, why David Hayter isn't in Metal Gear Solid 5 is yet to be unveiled.
I'm hoping the curtain hasn't been. I mean, we know there's going to be at least like a Z version or an X2. So hopefully they'll do something interesting with that rather than.
Why isn't there a Y2?
What's that?
Y2K.
Yeah, Y2K. Pokemon. Clock,
Y2K,
clock,
this is the end.
Pokemon Arceus, save us all.
Speaking of this is the end of this podcast. We'll see you next week, probably on this stuff.
Yeah.
Happy Halloween.
We need to make this spooky. We have a few moments left.
Okay. A black cat just walked by.
Ah!
I have bad luck now.
Ah! Okay.
See ya.
All right, dude. Been fun. Bye.